34 degrees in Westminster, 35 in Easton, and 35 in Kearney. I'm Maggie Hunter, 680 WCBM News.
It's more than just radio. It's the next step in the evolution of radio. Get the mobile app in the App Store or WCBM.com. Kim Plasick Live starts now on Talk Radio 680 WCBM and 99.9 FM in Harford County.
All right, good morning, good morning. Happy Friday. That's right, it's the end of the week. You got big plans for the weekend here, Noah, the producer? Do you have big plans? No, I can't hear you too well there. Yeah, I'm going to guess you're saying, yeah. All right. Oh, you've got tickets. Back to the Future, the musical. Where is that? At the Hippodrome? Okay, well, that sounds like a good time. Well, there you go, Noah. Noah's got more plans than I do. I have a 9-year-old, so there's soccer, right? There's I get to be an Uber driver for my kid all weekend. No, but I think tomorrow, since it's going to be so nice outside, we're going to try to enjoy it. I called my mom. I said, you know what? Maybe we should come down to D.C. We'll come down to the Inner Harbor, or the National Harbor, I should say, to see my mom. We'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. But I definitely want to enjoy the weather. Hopefully, you guys are getting your morning off to a great start. If you're listening to WCBM, then you're already doing a fantastic job. Let your boss know. Of course, we got lots to talk about today. I do want to talk about what's been going on in Annapolis. You know, every session we see bills that come to the floor, or we see bills that are testified upon that are very impactful. And you sometimes wonder, why is there even a bill for this situation? This should just be common law. But, you know, we are going to talk about Kanaya's Law. Remember, she's a beautiful 16-year-old that was found dead in a Baltimore City hotel room under the care of the state as she was in the foster care system. So we'll talk about her mother's impactful statement in Annapolis. Also in Annapolis, we'll talk about squatter rights. I don't know why squatters have rights, but here in the state of Maryland, they've got rights. I mean, you can just, I guess, move right into a home, you know, whichever home you like, whatever you want to do, you can move right on in. And those in Annapolis, it seems they have no idea how to handle this issue, yet Florida has handled the issue just fine. You think that they can just copy and paste, but, you know, it's Maryland, right? So God forbid. Also, we'll talk to Darren Badillo at 10 o'clock. He's running for school board in Baltimore County. You're probably familiar with his name. He ran for county executive. He ran for school board once before, by the way. I believe this time he's in District 6, and he's also with the Student Parent Coalition. Now, you know, Amy Adams, so many with that coalition, they did some really great work kind of peeling back the onion, right? The layers of the onion when Superintendent Dallas Dance was the superintendent of Baltimore County Schools. But we're going to talk to Darren about where the schools currently stand now in his opinion. We'll also ask him about the abrupt resignation from Dr. Miriam Rogers. I was shocked. I think many people were shocked. I've heard interviews with the Dr. Rogers, I guess, over the past couple weeks. As I was just speaking to Sean Casey on Casey and Company, we were just talking. I mean, she was talking about the budget. She was talking about the future of the school system. And now all of a sudden, she's out the door. Now, usually, typically, when we see this, something crazy has happened behind the scenes, and it just hasn't hit the news cycle yet. But I am not going to jump to that conclusion, okay? In 2026, Kim's not jumping to conclusions, all right? That was on my list, my New Year's resolution list. So we're going to wait and see what facts come out, and then, of course, we'll talk to Darren Badillo about it at 10 o'clock. Also, we do have to talk about Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton. That's right. They were deposed by the Oversight Committee. And interesting enough, and I will go ahead and say it, interesting enough, you know, she didn't answer many questions, right? She didn't answer many questions. And I'm not shocked. I am not shocked because there was never anything in the files that said to me that Hillary Clinton really had some involvement with Jeffrey Epstein. In my view, you know, for Hillary, Jeffrey was, you know, a very wealthy man and he donated to her campaign. And, you know, he probably was great to have around because he's wealthy and had that kind of network. That's usually what I see. in these situations, and that's kind of what I saw with Hillary Clinton. You know, now today the Oversight Committee is going to be speaking to Bill Clinton, and it really bothers me because it's like, man, how did he get a Friday? You know, the Friday news cycle. It's like on a Friday, usually they throw everything out by Monday because it's a new week, right? It's like, you know, Fridays don't usually stick. So, of course, when we come back on the show on Monday, I'm going to make sure that we talk about Bill Clinton. I'm going to be sure that we get down to the details because I have a feeling he's going to plead the fifth a lot. But we shall see. Maybe he's like, you know what? Maybe I want to get this off my chest. You know, I'm old enough now. I'm a grandfather. I don't want to carry this burden any longer. And I'm just kidding. You know, the Bill Clinton's not going to do that. He's not going to do that. But we will talk about it. Also, a judge has ruled on whether or not the ballroom, the reconstruction of the ballroom at the White House, is legal or not. So we're all going to talk about that. I've got some Democrat friends. Yes, I'm talking to you. Got some Democrat friends that were texting me saying, you know, he's just tearing up the White House and look what he's doing to the East Ballroom. And then, of course, I say back to them, I said, now, where was all of this energy when Obama was doing some reconstructing? No, nobody talks about it, right? It's like if you mention Obama, they say, oh, it's whataboutism. It's like, no, it's not. Obama did some construction on the White House. You said nothing. Okay. Now that it's Trump doing construction on the White House, now it's a big deal. Obama had ICE. Obama had kids in cages at the southern border facilities. Obama had all of these things, yet you said nothing. But now that it's President Trump, now it's a problem. It's like, come on. I'm not buying it. I'm not taking it anymore, but we will talk about that judge's decision. All right, let's get right into Kanaya's Law. That's what I want to talk about first. The Kanaya Ward's mom testified in Annapolis. Just so you know, this is going to be somewhat of a tearjerker. Just to kind of, you know, give you the backstory if you're just joining us on this story. Kanaya Ward, 16 years old, was handed over to the state, in the state's care, by her own mother. Now, her mother did this, and I commend her for doing so. Her mother did this because Kanaya, unfortunately, was dealing with some mental health issues. Kanaya was really on suicide watch. And for Kanaya's mother, who was working round the clock, to make sure that she had eyes on her at all times, she allowed the state to take control, and she allowed the state to take care of Kanaya. Because she felt as though that she would not be there all hours of the day to make sure that Kanaya didn't harm herself. Well, the state takes control, but the state doesn't tell anybody. Neither does the agency the state contracted. They don't tell anyone that they don't really have a place to place Kanaya Ward. And so Kanaya, like a few other kids in the foster system, ended up staying at a Baltimore hotel. Unfortunately, the caretaker that was supposed to watch Kanaya, we really didn't get, you know what, we got kind of like conflicting stories, so it's kind of hard to decipher exactly what happened. But according to the caretaker, she said that she walked into Kanaya's room early in the morning. She thought that she was still asleep. She didn't want to wake her. So instead of getting close to her or try to wake her or anything like that, she kind of backed out of the room and she left. And then she said she came back later on, and that's when she discovered that she was no longer with us. Now, the story that we got in the very beginning was that a hotel staffer found Kanaya Ward as the hotel staffer was going in to turn over the room. They're saying that's not true. I still don't know what's true. That's why a lot of heat and a lot of pressure was on Rafael Lopez. He's now the former DHS secretary, but a lot of people wanted more answers from him. So he never showed up to the hearings in which they would have found out this information. He said that he had health problems. And I'm not saying that he didn't. I'm not saying that he didn't. But he didn't show up to those hearings, but he did show up to the State of the State address. So imagine everyone's surprise, including mine, when he shows up for the State of the State address, but he did not show up to answer questions about what happened to Kanaya Ward. Okay? So he then resigns. That's done. People were calling on Governor Wes Moore to get rid of him a long time ago. But even after the fact, you know, as more information was coming out, we found out that there was a suicide note that Kanaya Ward left. Of course, you know, we are not privy to that in the public sphere. And then also, we found out more about, you know, kind of what happened leading up to the day, right? We kind of learned more about Kanaya's history. You know, of course, the lawyer for Kanaya's mom has come forward and done some interviews. And it sounds like that she was really dealing with a lot of issues and very troubled. And it's a heartbreaking story. Like I said, in this instance, I believe the mother did the right thing. If you are working around the clock and you don't have all eyes on your daughter and you think that she might harm herself, yes, you're going to reach out and try to get help. we tell people all the time to get help, right? How many times do we tell people to get help with their children, you know, in any situation? And here her mother did that. Now, we also found out that the agency, their paperwork wasn't up to par when, you know, working for the state. Now, this agency, again, is, you know, whoever this caretaker was, she was with this agency that was overseeing Kanaya Ward. So there were a lot, there's still lots of questions to be answered. But Kanaya's law, just so you know, in Annapolis, you have Delegate Mike Griffith. He is introducing Kanaya's law. It's a bipartisan bill. And basically what it will do is make sure that moving forward, there are background checks on people that are helping and assisting in the foster care system. And that's in there, just so you know, in case you forgot or didn't know about it. But that's in there because apparently there were kids that were placed with those on the sex offender registry list. And so the background checks clearly weren't being done. So that's in there. And then also to make sure that kids in the foster system are not held at hotels, homeless shelters, or even hospitals. In case you missed that one, some of these kids, if they were injured or something happened, they were in hospitals. And because they didn't have a place to put them, for them to live, they were actually keeping the kids in the hospitals. So they were living in the hospitals. Okay, so this has been such a nightmare. Anyways, I want you to take a listen to Kanaya Ward's mom and her impactful statement.
I'm here today with my father beside me, Mr. Michael Ward, Sr., in the hopes that our collection action today means that no daughter mother should have to bury her daughter. Kanaya was a wonderful daughter, and we will miss her. But I hope that you don't think we are here to just memorize the loss. We are hoping that the young men and women who need the help get it, and that the systems that rely upon to protect and serve them actually work. I fully support the work of what I hope will become Kanaya's law. I hope we can put politics aside and focus on something we all have in common. The love of our children, I look forward to providing any help I can for this law.
The General Assembly, in a very encouraging, fully bipartisan way, have all come together to solve these issues once and for all. Even now, DHS is favorable with amendments that we have accepted on the bill, and they will be testifying alongside me on the initial panel.
All right, there you have it. At the end there, that was Delegate Mike Griffith, by the way. Like I said, I don't know why you would need a law to hold the state accountable in this situation, but this is where we are. Like, you know, if it was in the private sector, if it were you or I, we would be facing fines and jail time. But I guess since it's with the state, we need a law to press this issue to make sure that somebody's held accountable, I hope, for Kanaya Ward, and also to make sure this doesn't happen again. You know, the fact that our tax dollars are going to some of these agencies that are not cleared properly with the state, and we're going to agencies, our tax dollars are going to agencies where they're not even doing background checks on some of these foster parents, this is despicable. And honestly, even though you have the resignation of the Department of Human Services, Rafael Lopez, I still want him brought in for questioning. I do. I don't care if he's resigned. That shouldn't allow you to escape accountability when a 16-year-old is found dead in a hotel. All right, we'll continue this conversation when we get back. If you want to weigh in, 410-WCBM680, 410-922-6680. It is Friday, and every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we are joined on the line by our good friend, Tim Herb with RBC Wealth Management. Good morning, Tim. How are you?
Good morning, Kim. Happy Friday. How are you?
I'm doing good. I see that there's some warmer weather this weekend, but you know what, Tim? I think like you, I'm going to be at soccer games and practices. What are you doing this weekend?
Well, we're kicking off the spring season, so we've got lacrosse heating up here, Kim. We've got baseball, you know, your typical spring sports. We're winding down. Unfortunately, my youngest daughter's travel basketball team, we lost in the Final Four last weekend, so kind of a bummer. We didn't make it to the championship, which would be held, you know, tomorrow. tomorrow. So yeah, kicking off spring sports. But you're right. I think this is the first day that I actually saw on the weather forecast we might actually hit 50 degrees. Is that right? Maybe.
I think so. And then tomorrow, you know, it's supposed to look good. So
absolutely. So well, hopefully we get some warmer weather, get that thaw, that winter thaw, and we're turning over a new leaf, so to speak. But as far as market commentary, Kim, and kind of what's going on, it's unfortunate right now to talk about the markets just because pre-market, and I'll talk a bit about that in just a moment, are down or off based on some economic data. Yesterday, though, the markets finished somewhat mixed. The breadth overall was narrowly positive. We still are continuing to see a lot of these big technology names, Kim, underperform. That's kind of the big story. One of the big bellwethers everyone talks about is NVIDIA. They were a notable drag despite their really big beat and their raise on their earnings. We also had shares of Google, Amazon, well, actually, it's Alphabet now, the parent company to Google, but Amazon, Tesla, and others were also lower and across the board. So as a result of that, we're seeing, you know, potentially, we still have to get through today here on Friday, Kim, but the NASDAQ composite, again, it's heavily technology-based, is on pace for about a 2.5% decline here. That could be the worst monthly performance since last March, a year ago, unfortunately. The S&P 500 right now is on track for about a 0.4% decline or loss this month in February, depending upon how things fare today. However, I guess the silver lining, the Dow Jones Industrial Average, those 30 stocks, Kim, they're on pace for about a 1.2% advance for the month here. Remember, today is the final trading day of the month of February. It's crazy to see that we've already been through the first 2 months and we kick off March here on Monday. But again, overall, talking about the markets not so doing so well here for the month, that is. And then this morning, of course, we're getting this hotter read on inflation. The January Producer Price Index, the PPI, which is a measure, again, of wholesale inflation, Kim, showing an increase. So inflation is heating up. That number showed an increase of 0.5%, so a 0.5% increase for the month. And I think if you look at the overall data, the economists polled by Dow Jones actually saw a headline reading for inflation coming in right around 0.3%. So when we look at the core producer price index on inflation, that core reading, Kim, that actually excludes the cost of food and energy prices. It actually recorded a 0.8% gain, much higher than what economists anticipated. So because of that, markets are trading down here pre-market. I think people are concerned now that inflation could be heating back up again, despite the decline we've seen with interest rates the last couple of Federal Market Committee meetings. So Dow futures are down 500 points. The S&P 500 futures, Kim, off 59 points. NASDAQ down 240 points pre-market. Unfortunately, let's bank on the warmer weather this weekend. Let's just say that, Kim.
Yeah.
And I'll look forward to rejoining you in March next Monday. You take care.
Sounds good. Have a good weekend, Tim.
Thanks.
Now, here's the Mangione Minute.
This week in Annapolis, Democrats chose their priorities: power, politics, and illegal aliens. First, the Democrats redistricted to eliminate our only Republican in Congress. And Governor Westmore called it, quote, fairness. Well, that's a lie, Governor. It's a blatant power grab to give Democrats every congressional seat in Maryland and to boost your presidential ambitions. Then they voted to end 287G, the program that lets local police work with ICE to remove illegal alien criminals. Think about that and ask, have Democrats ever stood with the families of murder victims like Kayla Hamilton or Dakar Thompson? Have Democrats ever said a word about the violence and destruction caused by illegal aliens in Maryland? No. Instead of fighting sky-high BG&E bills or crushing taxes and rising crime, Democrats chose to protect illegal aliens and play political games.
Listen for the Mangione Minute every week on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Hi, Dr. Lairfield here. If fear has kept you from the dentist, the Smile Design Center is the place to go. We have a little purple pill. You'll relax and have little to no memory of your visit. Just a healthy new smile. Call me at the Smile Design Center now for a free consultation at 410-321-1100.
This is not a fun jingle. You're not going to hear me say a silly slogan. I'm just going to give you the cold, hard fact. When you need a lawyer who really gives a shit, you're going to call 877-OUCH-911 or visit OUCHguy.com. Why? Because I'm the attorney he really gives a shit. Ouch Guy is Yoshua Beer.
The Rob Carson Show.
Hey, guys, it's Carson. By the grace of God, Friday is finally upon us on the show. The great Mary Walter, Tony Kennett from the Daily Signal, and AG for the great state of Texas and senatorial candidate Ken Paxton joins us.
What? 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 What?
Noon to 3 on WCBM.
The Rob Carson Show. Weekdays noon to 3 on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right. You got to love Rob Carson. He really is hilarious. Yeah, you guys probably saw that his bus to Gettysburg at the WCBM is already sold out. They had a second bus going. It's still going. But it's the second bus, yeah, sold out as well. So, like, yeah, I mean, it's amazing. But it looks like it's going to be a fun trip. I guess everybody will let me know how it went. Yeah. I couldn't even get my seat. I couldn't get a seat myself. It's just so popular. All right, we're talking about what's going on in Annapolis right now. We're talking about Kanaya's Law. Again, Kanaya Ward's mother, she was there in Annapolis with a very impactful statement. And it's sad that it has even come to this. I mean, her daughter should still be here today. She did the right thing. She had the state take control because the state said, yes, we can. We can handle this. And they didn't handle it. Kanaya, unfortunately, from what we're told, she took her own life with Benadryl. She overdosed on Benadryl. Like I said, there is a suicide note. Of course, we're not privy to it. And, you know, I'm sure her mother wants to keep that close to her chest. But she does have a lawyer, and it looks like that she is going to proceed possibly with some kind of suit. And you know what? I say good on her. Good on her. I mean, the state really failed her and so many other kids. The kids that were kept in hospitals. I mean, the kids that were kept in homeless shelters. And so it's so easy to get over on these kids because they're kids, right? They're there because they don't have any family. So the state, to me, this is just ridiculous. And I think Governor Wes Moore is also to blame here. Any governor that allowed this to happen, even if it was former Governor Larry Hogan, you're leaving kids in hospitals and all these other places to live because you don't have what you need to make sure that you can place them in a home or somewhere, you know, safe. And yet the kids, they don't have representation to help them in these situations because they're just children. I mean, it really is sad. These kids are failed by so many people in their lives. It's heartbreaking. Anyways, we're going to continue this conversation when we get back. I do want to talk about squatters' rights. It's also been discussed in Annapolis. Apparently, there was even more squatters in the Baltimore region causing havoc, of course. And there's really not a whole lot people can do about it until Annapolis does their job. We'll talk about that more. Coming up next.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Fearing that it posed some sort of a threat, the military has used a laser to shoot down a Customs and Border Protection drone in Texas. Apparently it was a case of mistaken identity. Former President Clinton testifying today in the congressional Jeffrey Epstein investigation. Yesterday, Hillary Clinton answered the committee's questions, says she told lawmakers she has no information on Epstein's crimes and does not recall meeting him. Artificial intelligence pioneer Anthropic says it will not grant the Pentagon unrestricted use of its technology that could cost the company a lucrative Department of Defense contract. No deal following a third round of U.S.-Iran nuclear talks, and Iran is vowing to continue uranium enrichment. More talks could be on tap for next week. More details at SRNnews.com.
Hi, this is Sean Casey. Tim Kyle Electric is now Tim Kyle Electric Heating and Cooling. For years, they've been a trusted name in the electrical industry, serving residential and commercial clients with excellence and dedication. Now they're proud to bring their wealth of experience and exceptional service to homes that are looking for HVAC services. During fall weather, it's important to ensure your home is equipped with reliable heating, ventilation, and air conditioning systems. Tim Kyle Electric Heating and Cooling, here to cater to your needs, ensuring comfort and peace of mind for you and your family. The weather is changing, and now's the time to call Tim Kyle Electric Heating and Cooling today. 410-876-9404. Remember, they also do outdoor lighting, plus service and sell all generators. For all your electrical and HVAC solutions, call 410-876-9404, 410-876-9404, or timkylecompany.com. Tim Kyle Electric Heating and Cooling, winner of Carroll's Best Electrician and HVAC Repair Company.
Now, Gary Stein on sports. O's and Pirates today in Bradenton, Florida. Our first look at Shane Baz this spring. Acquired from the Rays for four prospects. Baz slated, at least right now, in the number three slot in the rotation. Manager Craig Albernez commenting earlier this spring that Baz, now a full season removed from Tommy John surgery, has Cy Young potential. NFL Player Combine, day two today. DBs and tight ends take center stage after D linemen and linebackers did their thing yesterday. And on that note, NFL football analyst Charles Davis joined the Ravens podcast and was asked who could be there for the Ravens at number 14 that would help the Ravens fill their pass rush need.
Keldrick Falk from Auburn is an interesting deal because I'm going to give you a quick comp, and that's Trayvon Walker coming out of Georgia, because wasn't asked to rush the passer play after play after. Do we believe he's that type of a pass rusher, or is he much more of a piece?
Falk is a tremendous prospect. Standing 6'6", weighing 290 pounds, long arms, he can run, powerful frame, can play across the defensive line. And finally, the NFLPA's annual team report cards are in. And for the third consecutive year, the Dolphins rank first, according to survey results obtained by ESPN. The Vikings finished second, followed by the Commanders in third. The Ravens came in 12th. The owner given an A+. Baltimore did dip noticeably in one area. Team travel went from an A- to a B-. And the bottom three, the Browns are 30th, the Cardinals are 31st. And looky here, the Pittsburgh Steelers, for the first time in the survey's four-year history, finished last. Coming up in 30 minutes, another intriguing prospect for the Ravens. And that is Stein on Sports.
After my wife died, I lost myself too. I didn't feel like doing anything or seeing anyone. Then my granddaughter called to say she misses me, and I realized I had to make a change. That's when I made the call. I got referred to a psychiatrist, and she explained depression can happen to anyone. I'm learning that getting help doesn't make me weak. It makes me stronger. Mental health care works when you make the call.
See what it can do for you at mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
Your Fox 45 forecast. We've got some sunshine coming our way today with highs warming up to near 50. Tonight looks pretty quiet, mostly clear with lows in the low 30s. And then more sunshine to kick off your weekend along with some incredible warmth. Highs will be nearing 60 degrees on Saturday. Not as warm Sunday with highs in the upper 40s. And this is all ahead of cold air moving back in on Monday with a chance for, unfortunately, some snow. From the Fox 45 Weather Authority, I'm meteorologist Amy Aronson for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
The Maryland Home and Garden Show, presented by Maryland Heating and Air. February 28th through March 1st and March 6th through 8th at the Timonium Fairgrounds Cow Palace. Find great deals, new ideas, and practical advice with more than 400 trusted local experts. Save on tickets at mdhomeandgarden.com.
Hi, this is Rod Barrowy. Be sure to listen to our top nationally ranked Safe Retirement Solutions radio show right here on WCBM every Thursday evening from 6 to 7 and Saturday morning from 11 to 12 exclusively on WCBM.
Listen live or on demand. Download the WCBM mobile app from the App Store today. Win tickets and prizes. Text into the studio. Best of all, it's free. Stay connected wherever you go with the WCBM app from Talk Radio 680 WCBM 99.9 FM in Harvard County.
All right. So we're talking about what's going on in Annapolis. Happy Friday to all of you. Got a text here. A texter says, Kim, Kanaya Ward, where was the father? Still have not heard a word about the dad. Yeah, I have not either, texter. I have no idea where Kanaya's dad is. It's still such a sad situation. And I keep thinking about these kids, the foster care system. They have no one to represent them. They're just there. Like the system tells them, hey, we're going to have to put you in this homeless shelter with a bunch of people that are not mentally there or right in the head. And you're going to be living amongst all of these people in one big room. And, hopefully you can take a shower each day. We're not sure. And don't forget, many shelters, homeless shelters, I don't know what they did with the kids. But a lot of those shelters, you know, they're there to be able to spend the night. And then they have to leave a certain time of day in the morning because they push them out in hopes that they go try to find a job and, you know, try to get back, into society, whether they're integrating, whether they're, you know, going to intervention, if they're doing rehab, what have you. So usually they push them out and then you can come back after a certain time, right? So I don't know what they did with these kids. I have no idea what they did with these kids, but basically, essentially, these kids were homeless. Now, I understand if you don't have, you know, foster care parents, but you know what I will also say? I've never seen where the state has spent any money, you know, even just getting out there. Have you ever seen a billboard or anything, Noah? Just like anybody say, you know, anybody say, hey, just so you know, we're looking for foster parents. If you have, you know, the time, if you have the ability. I've never heard anybody talk about it. You know, recently I've heard, you know, Governor Wes Moore talk about being disinvited to the National Governors Association dinner. I've heard about the National Guard, how they don't want them in town. I've heard about Renee Good and ICE and Alex Pretty and, you know, everything that's going on in other cities. I have not heard from the state and whether or not there is a shortage on foster homes and foster parents and how they can recruit for such a thing. And then on top of it, they weren't really even doing the background checks. And that's how some of these kids ended up with sex offenders. It's like, you know, and these kids, they're helpless. They're children. They have nobody to turn to say, hey, you know what, I don't think this is right, or hey, you know, something very strange is happening here, or hey, maybe they went to school and told a teacher, like, hey, you know, I live in a hospital now. You know, who knows? Who knows if they were embarrassed and didn't want to tell anybody about their situation? I would love to know if it's even handled right now. Where are some of these kids today? But the state needs to do a better job. I'm sure there are many people out there that if they could afford to do so, they would take in one of these children, even if it's just for a few years as they're getting through grade school. I'm sure there are people out there that would do it. But I never hear anybody talk about it. No, you know, what are the qualifications? How much money do you need to make? How much does the state give you? You know, what kind of care do you have to have? What kind of home do you have to have? I've never heard any of these things. These things are important. And I will go back and state, and I talked about this on the show once. Remember when we were talking about in Baltimore City? You guys might recall this. I don't know. It was two Easters ago. Mayor Brandon Scott, he came. Remember there were a bunch of kids outside, and there was a shooting, and it was Easter weekend. And everybody was like, well, how are these kids, you know, caught up in this? Because there's supposed to be a curfew. Do you guys remember this? It was 2 years ago. There's supposed to be a curfew. And Mayor Brandon Scott, I will never forget, because I ended up texting him afterwards. I DM'd him and said, wow, this is very eye-opening. And he says, yeah, you have no idea. Well, anyways, he goes to the podium and he says, yeah, we were trying to get these juveniles round up and get them out of here. And of course, I have officers that are trying to get them home. The problem is, and he said it, and the press didn't really, you know, they didn't follow up on the question. It kind of just rode by everybody. But he said, but a lot of these kids don't have a home to go to. And that's when I realized that a lot of those juveniles that were hanging out down there at the Inner Harbor all times of night, some of them were actually in the system. And I do wonder, now that we found out about the kids staying in the Baltimore City hotels, how many of those kids that were down there for that shooting, how many of them were living at a hotel at the time, and they were just outside having fun? And they didn't have any oversight, no guidance at all. I wonder how many of those kids were some of these kids in the system. I'm guaranteeing there's got to have been a few. There must have been a few of them. And Mayor Brandon Scott didn't want to mention it. The state doesn't mention it. The press didn't follow up on it. But now that we know about everything that's been going on behind the scenes, now it makes sense, right? Now we know. The kids that were running in Capitol Grill and all those restaurants there at the Inner Harbor, knocking over tables, causing all this havoc, the riots, the protests. Now we know there's a bunch of kids out here living in hotels, homeless shelters, and hospitals. Of course they don't want to sit in a shelter all night. Of course they don't want to sit alone in a hotel room all night. Of course they don't want to sit in a hospital all night. And here you've got the elected officials. They all know about this. We don't. And so here we are confused, like, man, what's going on? What about the curfew? Where are the cops? Forget about safe streets. What is all this? They knew the entire time some of those kids were staying right down there with no guidance whatsoever. But we weren't privy to that information. A lot needs to change, starting with leadership. Elections obviously have consequences, but this is why it's so important for voters to understand what's on the line here. I don't think anybody listening to this show right now, I don't think any of you would want to see some kid caught up in the foster care system, just thrown out like a bag of trash at a homeless shelter. Have you ever been inside a homeless shelter? Have you ever met some of those people that live in a homeless shelter? Right? When the asylums are not open. If you want to weigh in on this, you can. I got a text here from Chris. Chris says, Kim, nobody's going to jail, but if it was me or you, we would be hung out to dry. Even with this new administration in power, no arrests of anybody, all the scandals and fraud and child trafficking. You got all the pedophiles and the government. Nobody will get in trouble. This is the world we live in. Chris, and you know what, Chris, you're right, and it's sad. It's pathetic. And I think, you know, I've told many of you guys, my dad grew up in the foster care system, and thank God he had a great guy that ended up adopting him for a while there. And he went off to do well in high school, played basketball, went off to college, became an executive at IBM, and, you know, the rest is history. But that guy saved his life. And I guarantee you there are people out there, if they knew how to become a foster parent, or if they knew, you know, what kind of resources or even who to talk to, if they knew about these things, to me, this is basic government functions. This is what they should be focused on, not banning 287G. They should be focused on getting these kids in homes so they can grow up to be successful. Governor Wes Moore, his tagline is leave nobody behind. You know what, buddy? You're leaving a lot of people behind, even children. You sat there while all these reports were coming out. DHS Secretary under your watch, Rafael Lopez, he sat in that seat, didn't even show up to the committee hearings, didn't show up for questioning. Governor Moore, if you think that you can escape any of this, you are wrong. You think you're going to the White House with this on your record? You're wrong. Because there's going to be a Gavin Newsom, a Pete Buttigieg, even a Jasmine Crockett, an AOC. They're going to pull out all your cards. This is on your watch, and you barely acknowledged it. And shame on anybody in your administration for not making sure that you spoke about this. You took time in Asia to make a video about Kilmar Brego Garcia. You remember that, Wes? Kanaya Ward found dead in a hotel room? Crickets. When you're talking about kids, it's a whole different situation. It's a different conversation. Shame on the governor. Shame on this administration. Thank you, Delegate Mike Griffith. Thank you to all those. Even, like I said, it's got bipartisan support, this law in Annapolis. Thank you to all the Democrats. Thank you to the Republicans that are pushing this forth. Thank you so much for wanting and caring to save our children. And it's a shame that we didn't know about any of the stuff that was going on behind the scenes. And I hope that if there's any other kids right now in a hotel, a hospital, or anything else, I hope they're getting them out of there immediately. I hope they're not waiting for a law to pass to do the right thing. Pathetic. The school system's failing them. The foster care system's failing them. Nobody's helping these kids. Then they're out in the street squeegee a window selling drugs. And everybody's like, oh, like Mark Conway in my studio last week. It's racism. Yeah, that's racism. That's racism, all right. Everybody in charge is black. The kids we're talking about are black. And you're failing them in every way possible. I'm going to go to the phone lines here. I've got Steve in Towson. Steve, how are you?
Good, Kim. How you doing today?
I'm just, you know, Steve, a little upset that this has been going on for so long. And, of course, our tax dollars are involved. And yet these kids were helpless in this situation.
Well, it certainly is a righteous anger, and I understand that. And it's such a big topic, but I want to just touch on the whole hospital and sources available. My wife and I had to surrender one of our children to the same government, you might say, because they were mentally ill and very violent. So, of course, they couldn't put my child into a foster care because foster care can't handle what we couldn't handle. So they do stay in the hospital because there's not enough facilities for children in Maryland. I know this for a fact because my wife worked at Shepherd Pratt, so I know the ins and outs of that horrible place. And the place they did send her that was owned by Shepherd Pratt in Jefferson School, they closed down because they had people there that were not vetted and they were abusing, and it's all there in the open and notorious in the you know, news, if you want to search it.
Right,
so there's many problems. There's not enough workers. Remember when behavioral health was the big topic, and the government was just going to make it their priority. There's not enough people. There's not enough people want to do it. And there's not enough facilities in Maryland to house children that are violent, mentally ill, and can't be put into foster care.
Well, you know what, Steve, thank you so much for calling in, and
yeah,
I understand your frustration. Let me ask you, was there ever a situation where they would then maybe possibly send them to a state that could keep them?
That wasn't an option, but from what I remember, the parents, you know, you surrender your child, but you still have parental rights, and that was an option, but what happened was this Jefferson School became available to us, and two other state-run facilities that were horrible. So we didn't have to choose out of state. It's very complicated, you know, when you come to those kinds of things. But the topic is that there's not enough people that want to go into this foster care or go into mental health. And that's the bigger problem. So sometimes you're just stuck at home with a child or a person that is violent, mentally ill. They go to the hospital because you can't help them, and the hospital says, well, we're going to have to hold them because there's no place to send them. They're all full. So people should call in that have more knowledge about that. I think that's the biggest problem, one of the many big problems of behavioral health in Maryland, you know, where I live.
Yeah.
Amen. Thank you, dear.
Well, Steve, thank you so much. Hope you have a great weekend, and I appreciate you sharing your story. Thank you. And look, I understand it. You know, they don't have it. And that's why I said, but when do we hear about it from the state? When do we hear about it ever? Has anybody heard, you know, was there ever a commercial or a billboard or anything talking about possibly more people going into that industry or, you know, career field? Is there anybody in the state or, you know, officials talking about the fact that they do need more help in that? No, we're always talking about the big national story that's got the big headlines, and that's what our elected officials are focused on. Right now, we have an energy crisis. People's electricity bills are sky high. What are officials focused on? Banning 287G, banning ICE, banning an ICE facility, suing the Trump administration because they don't want ICE in their backyard. Meanwhile, you got kids sitting in a hospital in the foster care system. I mean, like, what? What? This has your focus? You see, this is, and again, it goes back to one-party mob rule. You see these Democrats in Annapolis, and of course, you know, even the local officials, they know that they're not going to lose their seats because you have people that sit up here and they'll say, oh, we'll vote blue no matter who. So they know that there's going to be no repercussions. There's no incentive for them to do a great job. There's no incentive for them to go above and beyond to make sure all this stuff works seamlessly. There's no incentive for that. Just like in the school system with the teachers union, there's no incentive. Oh, you're not doing your job? Your school's not performing? Ah, okay, I don't worry about it. Here's another raise. The superintendent in Baltimore City? Oh, so you sent to leases? No, we're going to give you some more awards. That's what you need. That's what we need. That's how we're going to encourage her to be a great CEO. We're going to award her for a job well, not done. We'll go to the phone lines. Jeff in Phoenix. Hey, Jeff.
Tim, good morning.
Good morning.
So, YMCA, for example, its founding had a lot to do, obviously, with children. This is, I'm almost speechless this morning, and I've always been speechless on this topic, because from my perspective, there are three things that a society is responsible for. Obviously, it's children. Secondly, it's seasoned citizens. And thirdly, the defenseless animals. The test of the morality of a society is what it does for its children. And quite frankly, the pinnacle of that in Maryland, obviously, is the governor of Maryland, and right below the governor of Maryland, obviously, is the Maryland legislature. The governor of Maryland, oh, and let's not forget what we just witnessed Tuesday night in our nation's capital when repeatedly underprivileged people who had been had horrible things happened to them through illegals, et cetera, et cetera. An entire half of the people's house sat on their hands. And quite frankly, one of the most profound things President Trump said was, these people are crazy. And they are. Because, and I may be wrong, but on your way to Annapolis, there is a facility called, and I apologize, I've got something in my throat. There's a facility called Crownsville that is a beautiful campus, but it was closed. It was, I think, a mental institution, but it was closed, I think, in the 70s. And please do not hold me to these dates because I'm just trying to make a point. It was closed because there was abuse by those running the facility. Now, I don't know this, but I ponder, were any of those who was running said facilities, and as we know, if we do research on these facilities, apparently that is rampant, are they ever held to account legally? And whatever happened to our places of worship being an elixir to a lot of these things? Well, the government decided that that wasn't good enough, hence they closed, hence many churches, let's use Baltimore City, are now either closed or they're being sold to be turned into apartments, breweries, or whatever. Perhaps if we simply, and like you said, Kim, it's about standards and morality. You said last week, am I holding people to a standard too much? Hell no. You're doing exactly what needs to be done. It's up to us now. Ladies and gentlemen, in June 1st, during the primaries, and then in November, my fellow citizens of Maryland, we can finally make a difference. I can't name one thing, and maybe if you can, one thing the governor of Maryland has done to protect and defend its citizens or to advance the state of Maryland.
Yeah.
The bloody Empire State Building was built in a year and a half, and at the mouth of the Patapsco, looks like Evel Knievel is ready to come to Baltimore to jump from one end to the Patapsco to the other over what's left of the Key Bridge.
Yeah,
we must do better, and I leave you with this. Again, the test of the morality of a society is what it does for its children.
Amen. Thank you, Jeff, so much. I appreciate you. Hope you have a great weekend. We'll be right back.
The conservative underground meets right now. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
Everything is on the line. They want open borders. They want amnesty. They want sanctuary cities and states. They want to defund the police and dismantle the police. They want to defund the Department of Homeland Security. And that includes FEMA. That includes the Coast Guard. They want higher gas prices because they don't want energy dominance. They're championing the rights of men to play in women's sports. They don't want voter ID or proof of citizenship. They voted against the largest tax cut in history. This is not a normal party, you know, and I just watch and wait patiently. And, you know, I thought there might be some adjustment by the Democrats, but there's not.
Check out the Sean Hannity radio show later today. Right here.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right, you know what Pure Talk's favorite holiday is? President's Day, because they believe wireless service should only cost you a couple of presidents, just a Jackson and a Lincoln to be exact. And for $25 a month with Pure Talk, you can get unlimited talk and text, plenty of data. Compare that to their competitors. Now, the big carriers would rather celebrate Benjamin Franklin Day so they can charge your family hundreds and hundreds every month. And by the way, he wasn't even a president. Pure Talk is a veteran-owned company that supports veterans' causes. They invest in the U.S. They have a U.S. customer service team. When you call, you're talking to someone right here at home. And Pure Talk, they use the same cell tower, same 5G network. You get the same service without the inflated price. $25 a month, unlimited talk and text and plenty of data. No contract, no cancellation fee. Just dial #250. Say the keyword save now. You save an additional 50% off your first month. That's #250. Keyword save now. Make the switch to Pure Talk.
Do you need a new roof? Call Badger at 443-NEW-ROOF. At Badger Contracting, we inspect your roof, give you a free estimate, and work to improve and protect your home. We are a trusted local company that's worked on thousands of roofs, large and small. Call now, get a free estimate, 20% off your new roof, and a free gutter system. Call me, Barry Flax, at 443-NEW-ROOF. For immediate response, call 443-NEW-ROOF. Badger Contracting. Our job is your satisfaction.
Your next news update is minutes away at the top of the hour on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right, those are some wise words there from you, Jeff. We appreciate you calling in. Before we go here, I got another caller, Bill in Owings Mills. Bill, I got about a minute here. You wanted to weigh in? Bill? All right, Bill must not been able to hold on with us. Look, we got to cut here on this conversation, but hopefully Kanaya's law is passed. It looks like it will be passed because it does have bipartisan support, but we need to do something about the foster care system. Obviously, the state needs to get on the ball. The fact that, the Secretary Rafael Lopez sat there for so long, Governor Westmore took no action. He resigned on his own accord, and of course, we don't even know who's going to be the interim secretary there, or even, when he's replaced, who that will be. And I understand that there are some things that, are out of the state's control, but at the same time, they're not even trying. They're focused on ICE, they're focused on President Trump, and they need to be focused on what's going on here. Speaking of which, coming up next, we'll get Darren Badillo on the phone. He is a candidate for Boulder County School Board. Dr. Rogers abruptly resigns from Boulder County Superintendent, so we'll talk to Darren about that and so much more.
Just something about the way she moved. I can't figure it out. It's something about her.
High five! Up top!
Dave's company just got the 5-year price lock guarantee from Comcast Business.
Yeah!
It's 5 years of gig speed internet, advanced security, and a great rate that won't change. Yeah. All from the company with 99.9% network reliability.
Heck yeah!
He hasn't given this many high fives since Deborah brought in her famous banana bread.
Yes!
The Comcast Business 5-year price lock guarantee. Powering 5 years of savings, powering possibilities.
And it's hurting, but I am not stopping.
For a limited time, now through March 29th, switch to Comcast Business to lock in your rate for 5 years and get a $500 prepaid card on a qualifying gig bundle. Or ask how to get started with 150 megabit internet for $59.99 a month for 12 months with a 2-year agreement. Don't wait. Call today. Restrictions apply. New customers only. 1-year contract required for guaranteed rate. Paperless billing and automatic payments with bank account required. 5-year pricing applies to monthly service charge, excluding taxes and fees.
This is the right choice for Maryland.
Talk Radio 680, WCBM, Baltimore.
Breaking news this hour from Town Hall. I'm Rich Thomason. As the U.S. military buildup goes on in the Middle East, foreshadowing a possible attack on Iran, American embassy personnel in Israel are being told that if they want to leave the country, they should do so now. Ambassador Mike Huckabee has fired off a memo to that effect. Follows yesterday's third round of indirect U.S.-Iran news.
680 WCBM News.
From Reisterstown to Pigtown, from Westminster to Bel Air South, this is the right choice for Maryland.
Talk Radio 680.
Basic Live starts now. Woo! On Talk Radio 680, WCBM, and 99.9 FM in Harford County.
All right. Good morning. Good morning. Happy Friday to all of you. And it's a beautiful day. I can say it's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. I can finally say that. Yes, Mr. Rogers was on my television a lot growing up. Born 1982. Okay. First and foremost, I want to say hopefully you guys have a good Friday already planned. And I do want to say, I mentioned this earlier, I hope that you have a great weekend planned because tomorrow is supposed to be nice and warm. So get out there and get a little vitamin D, all right? It's not going to hurt you. The first hour here, we were talking about what's going on in Annapolis. We are going to come back to that conversation because we didn't get a chance to talk about squatters' rights. And that's my fault. I was on a rant about what's going on with the foster care system, and so I apologize for that. I'm just joking. I don't apologize for that. We gotta have these hard conversations. Speaking of which, right now we have a friend on the line with us. Before I get to my friend, because he's running for Boulder County School Board, which is so necessary. We talk about this all the time, how important it is to run for office. I just wanted to mention really quickly here. There was a report that came out, obviously, just 2 days ago. According to Project Baltimore's Chris Papps, Dr. Rogers announced her retirement, which is going to be effective June 30th, on a Teams call that she said with principals, and that happened on Thursday morning of last week. The school board was not informed, Thursday morning. The school board was not informed of Dr. Rogers' decision. Dr. Rogers took over as the Boulder County Public School Superintendent back in July of 2023 after being a chemistry teacher at Woodlawn High School. Now, her last known salary was $331,000, but that number was just the beginning of what taxpayers paid her. According to Rogers' contract, she received 43 vacation and sick days per year, which she can cash in if unused. She was also offered an annuity plan, and a vehicle allowance up to $10,000 a year. And now, what seems to be out of nowhere, she has announced that she is resigning, which is, again, very wild to hear, because if you've been following Dr. Rogers these past couple weeks, she's been talking about the future of the Boulder County Public School System. So right now, I do have on the line with me a good friend of mine, Darren Badillo. Good morning, Darren. How are you?
Good morning, Kim. Happy Friday. I'm doing great. Thank you very much. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Well, Darren, we're going to get into your candidacy here in a second, but you are with the Parent Student Coalition. You've been doing so much work in the Baltimore County region, especially when it comes to our kids in the public school system. I want to get your initial reaction to Dr. Miriam Rogers now resigning as effective as June 30th.
Yeah, well, I wanted to say, and you're right, part of the Baltimore County Parent Student Coalition, I want to give a shout out to Mary and Amy Adams, the leadership team who's done so much in our community, advocating for our children, especially when they close their schools down, and help get rid of Dr. Williams. I will tell you, for me, I was a little surprised to hear about Dr. Rogers retiring. The word from the street, from the community, is there's a lot of excitement. There's those that believe that maybe she could have done a better job in putting our children first. The education first, the learning environment first. But I hear that she wants to spend more time with her granddaughter, and I think that's good for her and our community.
Okay, so you think it really is just it's a personal decision? Because, I was wondering, Darren, I mean, it wouldn't be the first time that we see someone resign abruptly because there's something coming down the pipeline, but that's not what you're hearing. Is that correct?
Well, I just read a news article. So I just heard an article that's what they said, so I don't know if that's...
Okay.
Are true or not, but what I will say is I know that being a superintendent is not easy, but we are trending in the wrong direction, so I can understand why she'd want to step away.
Speaking of which, Darren Badillo, just in case people are meeting you for the very first time, right now you're running for school board, but please give them a little bit of your background here, because this isn't the first time that you've thrown your hat in the ring.
Yeah, we're very excited here in District 6 in Baltimore County, me and my team. In the community, I'm running for the school board. I did run previously one time for the county executive. We fell a little bit short, but I'm excited. I learned a lot from that run, and I'm ready to bring it to this campaign. And I have a lot of support. And at the end of the day, there is somebody in the seat right now, and there are some good school board members. And if I felt the school board member that's in District 6 now was doing the job, I wouldn't have put my hat in the race. But unfortunately, there's a vast difference between me and that person, where I want to make it easy for our children, get to school and learn, and I won't support failure. She recently, in 2003, supported to where they would extend the distance for bus drivers to pick up the kids. We should make it easier for kids to get to school, not harder. We see the graduation rate dropping, and then, she supported the most recent funding of the schools where I wouldn't have. And we just can't fund failure, and we have to be honest. And that member was also giving praise to Dr. Rogers of how well she's doing. And just because we lower the standards and we're hitting those low standards don't mean we're doing good. It's time to be real about what's going on. So we're excited. I'm bringing some hope and some leadership, as well as going to demand action and accountability. So we're excited in District 6.
No, I know. First and foremost, Darren, thank you for taking on this task. I know that it is not easy. As you mentioned, there is a lot going on. when it comes to going, I would say in an elected position in general, right? Because, of course, you got to run your campaign. You still got to live your life. You still got to go to work. And there's a lot that goes into this. When you're looking at the landscape here, the entire situation in Baltimore County, obviously, you know, they're talking about the blueprint for education in Annapolis, which is going to cost taxpayers a lot of money, right? I think that is the source of the fact that we're in this $1.5 billion deficit as it is. Do you think that there will be a case where, because we hear about this, a lot of the burden is going to fall on the counties, the jurisdictions, and of course the taxpayers within these counties?
Yeah, 100%. You know, and we can't continue to fund this failure. And you know, I do support and I applaud Senator Carl Jackson and Delegate Ryan Araki for putting the bill out there for the IG inspector to oversight our schools, and we need to. It's over 50% of our tax dollars, and nobody's paying attention to where this money's going, and it's not reaching our children. So I'm excited. That's what I'm going to bring. We're going to make sure that we're going to have accountability, see where this money's going, and then eliminate areas where funds shouldn't be going, because we're failing our children right now. We're not doing better in our schools, and we need to stop lowering the standards. So, I agree, Kim. I think that this is an exciting time right now.
Yeah. And, you know, we just learned, of course, about the graduation rate and how everything's on a decline. Realistically, being on the school board, how can you impact those numbers?
I mean, at the end of the day, it's about making sure that we have our kids in a good learning environment where they can thrive and grow, that we're supporting our teachers to where that if we have kid children continually disrupting class, that we're removing those kids. But also, we know that there's kids, unfortunately, that just cannot be in a school setting. The way the environment that they live at, they need to be an alternative program. And that was me, Kim. You know, when I was in middle school, I was the first kid in West Inverness alternative program. I grew up around crime, drugs, seeing people getting shot, and that affected me. I needed to understand boundaries and what was expected of me. So I think we need more of that and more accountability. And once I get in, we're going to have accountability, have better classrooms, and more support for his teachers, and I think we will see a change in our education system.
Yeah, well, Darren, of course, I know you personally. I know you're a very hard worker, and I know you're up for the job. I do have a text question here for you, if I could ask. This comes in from Marty. He says, could you please ask Darren if he is in favor of adding two elected members to the school board matching the new council districts?
Right now, I'm not for adding more school board members. To be honest with you, you know, when we look at our school board members, I believe they should all be elected positions. And then when we look at the student member, and I don't know who the student member is, I look forward to getting to know that member. But it's almost like a conflict of interest when you have a student member that's on the board that a lot of times votes with the superintendent, and then that superintendent gives recommendation letters to those students. So it's almost like a conflict of interest. So I'm much for all the board members to be elected positions rather than appointed and a school board member.
Okay. All right. Now that answers a question hopefully for you there, Marty. Darren, you know, obviously taking on this task, what made you get involved this time around? Obviously, you've been involved a lot, especially with the coalition. What made you throw your hat in the ring this time around? Is it just because you feel as though that you can do a better job than the person currently sitting in that seat? Or was there something else that happened recently that might have inspired you to go and jump into this race?
Well, you know, Kim, even when I ran for county executive, my platform was on education and our children. And, you know, I'm in the community. I'm a director of a youth mentorship program the last 8 years. I work with kids, and I see exactly how our schools are failing them. And like I mentioned, Kim, you know, I grew up, it was very hard for me, the environments that I grew up in, the situation. But thank God I got into a middle school and I got into an alternative program. I was able to get reintroduced to class. And I was able to meet friends who lived different than me, and I was able to see how other people live. And education saved my life. You know, I didn't realize until I was a senior in high school that I needed to get education, and I went to college. And it really, you know, changed my life and direction of my life. And I feel we're not giving these children the same opportunity right now. So as I work with children, as I work with youth, I think education is so important. The learning environment is so important. I have a passion for it, but also this is personal to me. You know, my son is going into middle school next year. He is reading at a third grade level. His math and ELA is at a second grade level. when we had our last meeting, one recommendation was given to me to put him on medicine. The meeting after that, I was told that, have we thought about getting him a tutor? And I get that. I want to do things as a parent to help my son. One, I don't want to give him medicine. Two, yes, I would like to do more and get a tutor for him. But what's the school doing? You know, and I have my daughter in a private school paying half of what the county gets for each student and getting a better education. So it's motivating me not just to fight for my son, but for all the children.
Yeah, absolutely. And Darren, I don't know if we had to talk before, but my daughter's in a very similar situation. Obviously, learning to read virtually during the pandemic, that was very difficult for her and many other kids in her class. And so it does feel as though the school system hasn't taken that very seriously. But of course, they're always talking about putting more money into the system, but yet the kids seem to be last on the list as far as taking care of them. Darren Badillo's on the line with us. Darren, you know, I did want to ask you, because of course there's a huge topic here with illegal immigration. I did want to ask you, you know, from what you've seen, right, especially your work with the coalition, has there been barriers in your opinion when it comes to integrating some of these children that might not be able to speak English, or they're coming into, you know, the state or the country for the first time from another country? Have you seen anything where there's a dynamic where that's also affecting the school system?
Well, I have a personal situation. My daughter, before I moved her to a private school, there was a kid that came from another country. And, you know, let's just call it what it is. There's some countries where they don't respect women like they do here in America. And this young boy would constantly pull in the back of my daughter's hair and hit her in the back. And I said, my daughter, I said, next time they do that, I want you to yell at the top of your lungs, don't do that, don't touch me. Well, my daughter was in the library, and this is the last straw for me and my wife, where the kid pulled her hair, and she yelled, don't touch me. And the librarian came over to my daughter and said, why are you, you know, what's going on? And before my daughter could say something, the teacher came over and said, Maya, you don't know what he's going through at home. You can't yell at him like that.
What in the world?
So I get that we want to, you know, show love, talk about love and hate our neighbor. But what about the love for our taxpayers? What about the love for our children and our community? And I think that nobody's putting that first. And that's why I'm going to be here. I'm not going to get caught up in any of their topics, but their children's education, their learning environment, and their success. That's all I'm going to talk about and focus on. And I think that's what's missing right now in our county.
Yeah, well, Darren Badillo, thank you so much for joining us. We'll have you back on the show here soon. I don't know if you already have your website up or if you have any social media where people can follow you and hopefully donate to your campaign.
Yes, I'm working on getting that set up to get donations here this weekend. Right now, you can follow me on social media. Just look me up, Darren Badillo. And to any parents or anybody, residents that have any questions, concerns, or if you would like to help, you can email me directly at darrenbadillo2026@gmail.com. And Kim, I just want to thank you and Ren Renaissance for your support, but also thank you for your support every year with supporting our Christmas event and our youth mentorship program, Kim. We appreciate you and all you do in our community. Thank you.
Well, no, Darren, thank you for all you do. We'll talk soon. Thank you so much. Hope you have a great weekend.
You as well. Thank you.
Thank you. And in case you guys are looking for the spelling there, Badillo is B-A-D-I-L-L-O. All right. And Darren, I mean, you're probably, if you listen to this show, or if you're in the Baltimore region, you're probably very familiar with Darren. He does. He works really hard. And he and his wife, I see them all the time because we go to the same gym, too. We go to the same gym. And so he's there usually with his wife and kids. And, of course, they go to the pool and everything there. And such good kids. I'm not shocked to hear that his daughter was reprimanded for yelling at a kid that was messing with her. It's a very strange dynamic in the classrooms these days. And I will say, I'm so thankful my daughter's in private school right now. But it's like, you know, that doesn't mean that we should not care about what's going on in these public school classrooms. And so we'll continue to keep our eye on what's happening next with the school system, especially now that Dr. Rogers is resigning. I did get word that there is another abrupt resignation coming out of the county schools as well. So we'll keep our eye on that. Coming up next, if you want to react to the interview, you can. It's 410-WCBM-680, 410-922-6680. And of course, we still have more to talk about in Annapolis.
A pension is everything in retirement. A game changer, as they say.
Touchdown!
Why? Because a pension guarantees your income for the rest of your life, no matter what happens or how long you live. All of your bills, all of your monthly expenses covered. That's the difference between people who truly enjoy retirement and those that stress and worry about what's happening in the world. Now, I know what you're thinking. I never worked for the government and my company never offered me a pension. Well, good news. I'm talking about private pensions called annuities, and anyone over the age of 60 is eligible.
Incredible!
We can quickly and easily tell you exactly what your guaranteed lifetime monthly income will be with just a simple phone call. Imagine the peace of mind that comes with a guaranteed paycheck every single month for the rest of your life.
Mega win!
Find out your guaranteed lifetime monthly income. There's no obligation. Call Adam Waske, 877-817-2338. That's 877-817-2338.
AM 680, WCBM Baltimore.
This is your president. Maryland has the dumbest governor in America. This guy is out of touch.
We are watching how basic civil liberties are being trampled on. And so when I think about the legacy of this president and this vice president, honestly, I do not think history is going to remember them very well.
What? Are you crazy?
You're out of touch. I'm out of touch.
Again, thank you, Darren Medeo, for joining us on the show. We'll get a time where he can come in and be in studio for an hour, and we can really go through everything that's been going on in the county school system. There's so much that's been going on. You know, the last time I talked to Darren or had a conversation with him is when, I don't know if you guys remember, but there was a young boy, and I remember Tim Fazenbaker was bringing a lot of awareness to this, but there was a young boy that ended up getting beaten up in a neighborhood by other kids. And, you know, it was like such a horrible situation. And I don't know if anything ever came of that. I don't think there were any charges, but I will follow up on it. But Darren, obviously very upset about that because, you know, it took a lot of people to make a lot of noise about it for anybody to care. And we see that often, unfortunately, in the public school system. And, you know, it was so crazy, too. People ask me, you know, about obviously my daughter and everything that she's going in and going through, and especially with the whole thing with the pandemic and the virtual learning. And I always say that I feel awful and guilty for saying it, but I always say, thank goodness, you know, for her father and for the fact that we could put her in private school. And it's just like, you know, this is why I'm such a, you know, I'm such a champion for school choice, because there are many people that cannot afford to put their kid in private school. And so here they are, they're stuck with the school, which is in their neighborhood. And many times, oftentimes, those schools are no good, or there are many kids there with behavioral issues. You know, every kid is different. Every kid is different. You know, I've been a stepmom for many years, and I can tell you, you know, the two boys that, of course, you know, we had almost full time, it felt like, in the house. I mean, they were so different, yet they were only about 14 months or so apart. But it was like two totally different personalities, two totally different kids. And you had one kid where you could throw him in any situation and he was going to thrive. It didn't matter. It didn't matter. That was just who he is, right? And then you had another kid that for him, it was, you know, he was very sensitive. He was bullied and he didn't handle it very well. And so, you know, it's just it was a parent. You hope that you can come to your kid's defense, and you hope that you can do something to make their lives a little better, or at least have them in a situation where they can thrive and be successful. And again, you know, for some parents, I feel like, you know, they're at a point now where they most likely feel very helpless in the situation. And I've seen where parents have gone to the public schools and complained about the bullying, complained about other kids and what they're doing in the classrooms. And I've seen schools basically turn their backs on those parents. And I think that's what really started the Student Parent Coalition, in which Darren Medeo is a part of. The schools just didn't really care. There was no incentive to care. You know, they're getting paid regardless. The administrators are getting paid regardless. Dr. Miriam Rogers, she was making, $350,000 a year, regardless if these kids are being bullied, regardless if the kids are listening and learning. It doesn't matter. There's no incentive to make sure that it's not a hostile environment. And so, yes, I mean, the school board, we see Maggie Domanowski. I think I talked about her just a little bit yesterday. We see what she's gone through trying to do the right thing. It's not an easy task. It's not an easy task. Then you have the other side of things of what's going on in Harford County, right? I mean, think about that situation. Very difficult. It shouldn't be this difficult. Shouldn't be this difficult to educate children in a public school system. All right, so we'll talk more about this when we get back. Real quick, just want to make sure you've been out to Town Appliance to see my friends off of Reisterstown Road at Owings Mills. If you haven't been there to see Mayor Mayer just yet, then go see Mayor Mayer today at Town Appliances. They have 70-plus brands to choose from, like GE, Cafe, and Monogram. Don't delay. Go down and see their beautiful showroom. Trust me, they can help you with financing. They can help you with your budget. See Mayor Mayer today at Town Appliances.
SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Former President Clinton is answering questions today in the congressional Jeffrey Epstein investigation. Yesterday, Hillary Clinton told lawmakers that when it comes to Epstein, she knows nothing. An AI pioneer stands to lose a lucrative Pentagon contract. Anthropic CEO says the company cannot, in good conscience, agree to the Pentagon's demands that it be able to use all of its technology. More U.S.-Iran nuclear talks are expected next week. There's been no deal yet. Iran State TV says the country has no plans, though, to halt uranium enrichment. Pakistan and Afghanistan trading attacks and a dramatic escalation of tension between the two countries. And on Wall Street, the Dow is down 676 points, while the Nasdaq is off 186. More details at srnnews.com.
High five! Up top!
Dave's company just got the 5-year price lock guarantee from Comcast Business.
Yeah!
It's 5 years of gig speed internet, advanced security, and a great rate that won't change. All from the company with 99.9% network reliability.
Heck yeah!
He hasn't given this many high fives since Deborah brought in her famous banana bread.
Yes!
The Comcast Business 5-year price lock guarantee. Powering 5 years of savings, powering possibilities.
And it's hurting, but I am not stopping.
For a limited time, now through March 29th, switch to Comcast Business to lock in your rate for 5 years and get a $500 prepaid card on a qualifying gig bundle. Or ask how to get started with 150 megabit internet for $59.99 a month for 12 months with a 2-year agreement. Don't wait. Call today. Restrictions apply. New customers only. 1-year contract required for guaranteed rate. Paperless billing and automatic payments with bank account required. 5-year pricing applies to monthly service charge excluding taxes and fees.
Now, Gary Stein on sports.
The hot spring of Orioles right fielder Tyler O'Neill continued yesterday in sunny Sarasota.
On a 3-1, that is an absolute rocket off the bat of O'Neill. And in a high blink, it's gone. Tyler O'Neill continues to just hammer balls this spring training.
Kevin Brown had the call on MLB TV. O'Neill 3-for-3 on the day, including that first inning dinger. 7-for-9 now on the spring. And the O's would go on to beat the Tigers 6-5 yesterday on a walk-off single in the bottom of the ninth. O'Neill's effort, though, overshadowed by this play at the plate in the top of the third.
Lee in the right field. That one's tangled in the gap. O'Neill slides to cut it off. And whoops, the throw in. And that throw to the cutoff man is going to send Vierling home where he is out. And Samuel Basayo is holding his chest as he dove into Vierling for the tack. Samuel Basayo, this is a very uncomfortable sight.
The $67 million man removed from the game immediately with an abdominal injury. Manager Craig Albernaz after the game.
To me, like, he could have stayed in the game, but that was me being the voice of reason to get him out of there and make sure everything is fine.
Is he going to be undergoing any other further testing?
I have no idea. I don't think so.
Well, we'll see what today brings for Samuel Basayo. Coming up in 30 minutes, team report cards are in, and the Ravens have improved. And that is Stein on Sports.
Trying to make sense of the markets? Looking into diversify out of all the craziness? Thinking about tangible assets like precious metals? Listen to The Gold Show with Kenny Michaels right here on 680 WCBM at 3 p.m. Sunday afternoons. Stay up to date on retirement trends, how the IRA rollover process works, and why investors are turning to physical gold. Kenny is a national talk show host with decades of experience in the markets. Listen for Kenny's insights in The Gold Show every Sunday afternoon at 3 p.m.
Your Fox 45 forecast. We've got some sunshine coming our way today with highs warming up to near 50. Tonight looks pretty quiet, mostly clear with lows in the low 30s. And then more sunshine to kick off your weekend along with some incredible warmth. Highs will be nearing 60 degrees on Saturday. Not as warm Sunday with highs in the upper 40s. And this is all ahead of cold air moving back in on Monday with a chance for, unfortunately, some snow. From the Fox 45 Weather Authority, I'm meteorologist Amy Aronson for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Jarvis Appliance in Jarrettsville offers high-end luxury and quality at very affordable prices. Their beautiful showroom in Jarrettsville is a great place to shop and pick the one that's just right for you. You'll get quality appliances backed by the very best installation and service. Remember, if it cools, freezes, washes, dries, or bakes, sizzles, or air fries, you'll find it all at Jarvis. Go to JarvisAppliance.com. That's JarvisAppliance.com. Jarvis Appliance in Jarrettsville.
Bud's at Silver Run. What a great way to celebrate our 17th anniversary. Winner, best fine dining. Winner, best seafood restaurant. Winner, best crab cake. Thank you, Carroll County, for voting Bud's at Silver Run the best in Carroll Magazine's first annual Reader's Choice Awards. Carroll Magazine Reader's Choice Awards, the best of Bud's at Silver Run. For reservations, call 410-346-6816 or visit us online at budsatsilverrun.com.
Have you been in an accident? The most important call you're going to make after the cops is to 877-OUCH-911. Why? Because I'm the only attorney who gives a shit. 877-OUCH-911 or OUCHGuy.com. Ouch guys, Yoshua Beer.
Hair Volume from New Nordic will make your hair look thick and healthy. Hair Volume is available online at Amazon and NewNordicUSA.com or in the hair care aisle at your local CVS.
Retirement, it's almost here. Are you ready? Join Mike DePaula and Sarah Flora of Flora and DePaula Wealth Partners for SWAT, Retirement Strategy Hour. Saturday is at 2 on Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Investment advisory services made available through AE Wealth Management LLC, a registered investment advisor.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right, again, thank you, Darren Badillo, for joining us on the line there. And, Marty, that was a great question about whether or not he was in favor of adding two elected members to the school board. This would replace two appointed positions with two elected members. Yeah, I would think that, you know, anybody would be for the elected members. You know, same situation in Baltimore City, really. The mayor there, he could appoint, I think it's four seats on that Baltimore City school board. Yikes. I mean... You know, a lot of things need to change, and we'll get into that another day. Like I said, maybe we can get Darren in here for an hour, and let's see. I'll reach out to the other school board members as well to see if the candidates too, right, to see if they want to come in and talk and chat about, you know, changes that could be made. Before this discussion of the school system, we were talking about the foster care system. Kanaya's law is being introduced in Annapolis, and we're hoping that it passed. And basically, what it would do it would take kids that are in the foster care system out of homeless shelters, hotels, and hospitals. And it would also make sure that the background checks do happen, because unfortunately some of the kids were placed with people on the registry, the sex offender registry. And so hopefully, like I said, that bill should pass. It does look like it will pass, by the way. It looks like, you know, both parties are in favor of the bill. I do have a caller that wants to weigh in on the topic. I've got Jason and Laurel. Hey, Jason, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing well. I know it's a very complicated conversation. I know many people are weighing in. What did you want to add to the conversation?
Yeah, so I am a foster parent, and I also lead a local nonprofit, Project Belong Maryland. And I've been talking with delegates on this topic. I love the bipartisan focus of getting out of the way and solving problems for our kids. And yet, my question, really, that we believe the church can solve is, where do the kids go? Like, we close hotels, and that's great, and we want kids to be in the appropriate, safe environment. But across the state, we as the church are raising up and saying, the church wants to share in responsibility of the loss of Kanaya and many other kids that honestly are in some ways unnamed across the state. And in sharing in that responsibility, say, we would like to step in, and that the church is a place where kids can experience a flourishing community and find family and support and mentorship. And there's data that shows at a national level that the statistics drop significantly when the church is involved.
Well, first and foremost, Jason, thank you for what you're doing, okay, in the community, and thank you for being a foster care parent. This is something that a caller, Jeff, was asking about. So as the church is taking on this responsibility, I would think that the state would then fund churches to assist with this instead of some of these agencies. Yes, is that where you're going with this?
You know, funding could be an option, but honestly, just as a dad, like, I'm not worried about money. Like, we'll figure out the funding side of it. There are some interesting solutions where you could create, like, transitional homes that other states use, where instead of them being in a hotel, they're in a house, like a house that the state could purchase. We would have professional caseworkers manage that space and then have volunteers come in and play Uno and teach kids how to cook and, like, do things that they desperately want to learn in the context of kind of a home, not a group home necessarily, but like a home that would allow them to then transition to their next placement. So there could be some funding things on the table, but the church has enough, you know, like if we raise up even like 15% or 10% of the churches across the state, there's more than enough resources.
Yeah, and Jason, you know, I would think that that would be a possibility. Let me ask you, do you think the state is doing enough on their end to get the word out to people that could possibly take on being a foster parent?
I think the state tries really hard, and I think that it's an overwhelming request for anybody to say, yeah, I should be a foster parent, and that's where what we find is about 90% of foster parents quit within a year. But when you have the support of just the simple community through the church, instead of 90% quitting after a year, 50% quit after a year. But instead of 50% quitting after a year, 90% are continuing 2 years and beyond when you have the support of a local church. So we create permanency for those kids. Like, they can stay in homes. And whether they're adopted or they move on to, hopefully, to family or kin, they have a longer placement. So I think when the state comes out and says, hey, become a foster parent, that is wonderful, but it's hard to say yes. It's hard for me and my wife to say yes to our next placement that we'll do later this year without the support of a community. But because we know that there's 10 people from a local church ready to step in and make meals and do laundry and, you know, provide respite care under the guidance of, you know, child welfare, making sure everybody's background checked, all of that, like, when we know that we have that support network, then we can make that a yes. So I think the state is trying, but I think that the answer is really mobilizing a whole network of people from 20-year-olds to 80-year-olds. Like, we all can do something.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. Jason, thank you so much for calling in with some more clarity, too, to the situation. If you could, again, give everybody, the organization that you're working with and then also your website in case they want to get involved or help in any way.
Yeah, and thank you. Thank you for your coverage on this and your passion for it. And I'm thankful for Delegate Griffith and others who are leading the charge. And just praying for the children of our state. So it is Project Belong Maryland, and the website is the same thing, projectbelongmaryland.org.
Thank you so much, Jason. I appreciate you. Thank you so much. I hope you have a great weekend.
Thank you. You too.
Thanks. Thank you. Well, there you have it. There's somebody that's involved. I understand it's a tough task. I understand. But I will also say, with the way that it was handled at the very tippy top, we didn't even know about the kids in these places until the audit was made public. Without that audit, we might not have known even about Kanaya Ward even being in the system, being in the hotel, or even much about her death at all. And I do agree with Jason. I guess Jeff, you know, he was saying the same thing. The churches are the way to go. And I think I told you guys, with, you know, when I used to run my nonprofit in the city, the women that were going through rehab, or those that were coming out of abusive, like domestic violence situations, the women that were able to thrive, that were successful, you know, that continued on forward, those women were heavily involved in the churches locally. And when I saw those that were struggling with addiction and some of the things that they were struggling with, it was clear, it was very clear that it was the work of God. Jesus was saving them. Like, you can't convince me otherwise. You cannot convince me otherwise. Now, of course, people don't, you know, they don't make that change until they want to make that change. But man, oh man, it quite a difference. Quite a difference a church will make. And I'm sure, you know, even in the churches, as Jason was mentioning there, you got, you know, the mentors. Yeah, I think it's a great idea. You know, maybe the state will consider working with the churches side by side when it comes to the foster system. I've got another caller on the line here, Diana in Odenton. Hey, Diana.
Hi. I want to, Tim, I don't know if you follow this man. His name, I know his first name's Peter. He is out of Charlotte, North Carolina. He is a foster dad, and he's adopted three and is in the process, I believe, of adopting the other two foster children. But he fosters many children. He travels around the United States talking to different organizations about foster care, and he's written a book, Now I Am Known. He's a single dad. He was a throwaway child in, I want to say, Uganda, and someone helped him, and he found his way here to America. He does wonderful, wonderful things for foster children. And every time I watch him, I think that Maryland needs to emulate what this man does in North Carolina. Wonderful children.
Well, I will definitely look him up, Diana. I appreciate you calling in. You said his name is Peter?
Peter Mozambique, or something like that. He is, Now I Am Known.
Okay.
And wonderful, wonderful sight, wonderful man, one to emulate. And thank you very much, and have a good day.
You too. You too, Diana. Thank you so much. Hope you have a great weekend. Yeah, I can imagine that there are many people out there that are trying their best to assist and doing the right thing. As, you know, Diana just talked about Peter, and of course Jason that called in, he and his wife, I'm sure. I also, there was a gentleman, I'll have to go back to my car and look and see if I can find the information. There was a gentleman that stopped me in a parking lot not too long ago to tell me about his church and what they're doing in the Baltimore area. And, you know, it's a shame, but there are so many kids that, you know, whether they just have a terrible home life, again, not anything they can control, or whether, you know, they're basically being put out on the streets. It's tough. And I understand that it's overwhelming. And of course, you know, as we're sitting here, I get a notification. Now, Governor Wes Moore is calling on President Trump for reimbursement on the illegal tariffs. And that's where their focus is. I laughed because it's such a joke at this point. It's such a joke. Speaking of which, I just wanted to go to the question of the day real quick, because we'll talk about this in the next hour. And that is at WCBM.com, brought to you by Renovation Real Estate. I also just shared it on Facebook as well. It's a very simple question, because we're going to talk about Hillary Clinton. Obviously, Bill Clinton's in front of the Oversight Committee today, answering questions in regards to Jeffrey Epstein. And I ask, who should be held accountable for the relationship with Jeffrey Epstein in the Clinton household? Should it be Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton, both, or is this a waste of time? And I asked this because yesterday, and we'll get into it, like I said, Hillary Clinton kept saying, you're going to have to ask my husband. about all of this. She said, it's not anything that I can answer for you. Now, they did say they'll make the deposition public so we can see it, word for word. But Coburn did come out, Representative Coburn, and said, yeah, she basically said defer to my husband. And when you're thinking about all the pictures that we've seen in regards to the Clintons, yeah, I mean, you see Bill Clinton with Jeffrey Epstein. You rarely see. I think there was one picture where Hillary Clinton was with him. And then Miss Maxwell did attend Chelsea Clinton's wedding. She was there. Now, according to Hillary Clinton, she was just a plus one, but, I'm not buying that. I mean, this is a high-profile wedding with a high-profile guest. I mean, you can't just be a plus one and nobody knows who you are. I mean, come on, it's the Clintons. So anyways, we'll talk a little bit about that, but I wanted you to take the poll question if you could. Again, brought to you by Renovation Real Estate. Who should be held accountable for the relationship with Jeffrey Epstein and the Clinton household? Go ahead and make your voice heard on that. Again, it's at WCBM.com. And if you have the WCBM app, just click the poll button and it'll pop right up for you. I did want to mention, but remember I told you I went to Annapolis. It was actually the same day that we had the Sean Casey and I, we had our big dinner of the year, Steak of the Union event over there at Timonium's Liberatories. And I told you, of course, I was late getting there as I was coming around from Annapolis, but I was testifying on House Bill 393, which is helping women and their hair treatment as they're going through chemotherapy, which to me is very important if you know my story. And so I just wanted to let you know that it did pass the House yesterday, and that bill is on its way to the Senate. And I spoke to a couple senators that I know, and they said it should pass the Senate as well. Again, it's House Bill 393 if you want to look it up. But I did share my testimony on my socials, so I just wanted to let you know where the bill currently stands. It is now past the House, and that is on its way to the Senate. Just want to fill you in on that one. All right, when we get back, I did want to just mention something that Governor Wes Moore recently did that really fell flat, but I thought it was interesting because this, again, goes to, his attention to the national conversation rather than here in Maryland. And then also in the next hour, we'll talk about the Clintons, but also we'll talk about the squatters' rights and what they're doing about that in Annapolis. Stay right there.
Turf Valley Resort is your perfect destination for conferences, executive meetings, and corporate retreats, offering a variety of event spaces, 172 hotel rooms and suites, two championship golf courses, full-service restaurant, and spa. Work with our experienced team of catering and event planners to meet all of your needs. Visit turfvalley.com or call 410-465-1500. Turf Valley is centrally located in the Baltimore-Washington corridor as Maryland's premier event venue.
To me, working at St. Jude, what makes it so special is that there's more research going on here. At St. Jude, we don't care who cures cancer, we just need to advance the cure. The heart of St. Jude is to take care of children with catastrophic diseases and to advance their cure rates, but we need to be able to do that for everyone. It's a bold initiative to try and bump cure rates all around the world, but it is our commitment.
Finding cures, saving children. Learn more at stjude.org.
www.ouchguy.com. There are lots of lawyers out there, Baltimore, but only the Ouch Guy really gives a shit about your legal ordeal. Call 877-OUCH-911 or visit ouchguy.com for your free legal consultation. Ouch Guy is Yoshua Beer.
The Sean Hannity Show.
We have to remember that Trump is the guy who ushered in the era of fake news.
They are the ones that peddled the phony news. The irony of all of it is none of these people have come to the realization yet that legacy media died. And it is dead. It is gone. It is buried.
Sean Hannity, weekdays 3 to 6 on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right. Happy Friday again. Good morning to you. We also discussed Mayor Brandon Scott yesterday. Of course, the ID report, the latest from the Inspector General. I just want to let you know he did respond. The Inspector General did make it known, the report went public, that he himself and three other members in his office, they've been using their procurement cards a lot. And they've been spending a lot of money, whether it's at an Orioles game or a Ravens game. I mean, thousands and thousands of dollars on food and drinks and apparently flowers and all kinds of things. Well, Mayor Scott did respond to the report being public and the accusations, and he said that nothing there is nefarious. He said nothing has been wrong. You know, they follow the laws and the guidelines. And he said that, you know, the way that it's been, I guess, documented might have been wrong from his office. But he said that they're getting to the bottom of that, and that's all they have for that. So that was his response to this. Basically, like, nothing to see here. And you know what? There could be nothing to see there. But I would think that, you know, that amount of money, that amount of taxpayer dollars going towards, you know, vodka and kind of hanging out at the Ravens games, as we heard from our friend Firefighter John, who texted in the show yesterday. You know, they've got so many things that they could be upgrading at some of the firehouses. I'm sure the police department could use some more money, you know, for their headquarters. I mean, there's just so much that you can do with taxpayer dollars instead of, you know, drinking shots of vodka at a Ravens game. And, you know, it's really just a bad look. Optics-wise, it's awful. The same thing with Mayor Scott's, you know, $164,000 SUV. It just looks really bad. It looks like you don't care. Meanwhile, well, many people are struggling to keep the heat on. I did see where where BGE did announce that even though they're setting off cutoff notice, they're not cutting anything off until April is what I heard. Oh, boy. So they're not going to cut anything off till April is from the word on the street now. And so I guess that was the big announcement yesterday. But still at the same time, that doesn't mean that you're not going to incur, late fees. It doesn't mean that you're not going to have these issues, you know, come April and May, because they're still going to be there. And as many people pointed out, those on a fixed income are really having a tough time. So it looks bad when you're spending all of this money out partying. And again, the money isn't actually yours. It's taxpayer dollars. That looks bad. But I just want to let you know that he did respond. All right, so Governor Wes Moore, as I mentioned, he's still very focused on the national trends, even though we have a ton of problems here in Maryland. He did invite the women's U.S. hockey team, the Olympic gold medal hockey team, to Maryland's State House. And you're probably thinking, do they even know where Maryland is? I don't know. I don't know, but this is like, it's on brand for Governor Wes Moore. Well, apparently he invited the women's Olympic hockey team, because in the very beginning of all the conversations about the men's ice hockey team going to the White House and going to the State of the Union address, there was a mix-up or, you know, just a wrong message that came out of the mainstream media, and it sounded as if the women's hockey team didn't want to go to the White House. It sounds like they didn't want to go meet Trump. Well, that was the narrative that was put out there in the very beginning, and then the women's ice hockey team actually spoke up after the narrative, you know, started making its rounds, and they said, no, actually, we just have conflicting schedules. We're still going. They said, we're still going to meet Trump. We're still going to the White House. You know, we were invited to the White House, and we think that's really cool. Well, anyways, when all this, you know, drama started and that, you know, false narrative was out there, Governor Wes Moore, and I totally missed it, he invited the women's ice hockey team to the Maryland Annapolis State House, and it didn't really make its rounds because not many people know who Governor Moore is, and not many people know where Maryland is, and the fact that he thinks that he's on the level, this just tells you, by the way, I mean, the narcissism here is top tier. I don't think they even responded. I don't think they know where to respond. They didn't accept. They didn't. I mean, what are you going to say? This governor, this random governor that hardly anyone knows, is inviting you to their state house. But again, this just shows you where Wes's mind is. He believes that he's on this level of, like, you know, inviting the women's Olympic gold medal hockey team to the state house as if they care to go. Dude, you're not at the White House. This is the Maryland State House. And I'm not saying, you know, there's anything bad with the Maryland State House. I love Annapolis. I think the State House is beautiful. But they don't know anything about it. And why would they accept your invitation? Like, you're some random guy. You know what I mean? It's like, it's so bizarre to me. But anyways, I just wanted to point that out because, you know, the whole invitation fell flat. But he was trying to get, again, back in the headlines as somebody against Trump. And since that didn't work, I guess now they're talking about wanting a reimbursement for the tariffs. That's the next story for Governor Moore. This is really sad. Really sad. I hope he's not reelected. This guy's a joke. All right, coming up next, we're going to talk about the Clintons and the Oversight Committee hearing. And, yeah, Hillary did answer some questions, but we'll get to her responses. Stay right there. Your heart shows up for you every day through the stress, laughter, long hours, and while cherishing the people you love most. Right now, Rescue Natural Supplements invites radio listeners to start caring for their heart before something feels off. You just use exclusive offer code OMEGA50 to buy any premium omega-3 and get one free. Omega-3s support healthy circulation, balance blood pressure, and lower triglycerides. They help fortify your health as you age while calming chronic inflammation. Everyday protection your heart deserves. And for decades, Rescue's ultra-purified, third-party tested omega-3s have been trusted by generations of satisfied people. Join them with this limited-time offer. Go to res-q.com and use code OMEGA50 to buy one omega, get one free, or call a product consultant at 1-800-26-ALIVE at 1-800-26-ALIVE. Again, that's 1-800-262-5483. Your heart will thank you. Shop online at res-q.com with code OMEGA50.
This is the right choice for Maryland.
Talk Radio 680, WCBN, Baltimore.
Breaking news this hour from Town Hall. I'm Rich Thomason. The U.S. Embassy in Israel is telling staffers they can leave the country if they want to, and it's urging anyone considering departure not to delay.
WCBM News. This hour is brought to you by Tim Kyle Heating and Cooling, trusted local experts keeping your home comfortable year-round.
Kim Plasick Live starts now. Woo! On Talk Radio 680, WCBM, and 99.9 FM in Harford County.
All right, good morning, good morning. Happy Friday. If you're just joining us, I have to ask you, where the heck have you been? We did speak to Darren Badillo. He's running for Boulder County School Board in District 6. They're talking about the abrupt resignation of Dr. Rogers, the Boulder County School Superintendent. It really is abrupt, I have to tell you. I pay attention to the interviews that she does, you know, here and there. Of course, I'm a Boulder County resident. I'm a taxpayer. And I want to hear about what's going on with the public schools. And I will tell you, she has been talking about the school system as if she's going to be there for a very, very long time. She was talking about the future. She was talking about the blueprint for education. She's been talking about the class sizes. She's been talking about different strategies that they're going to attempt to do this year. And now, all of a sudden, she's out. She's out. Her last day, I guess, will be June 30th. And then July 1st, we'll have a new superintendent. And you know what? This will be the fifth superintendent, I think. What was it? In a matter of so many years. I mean, the turnover for superintendents in Baldwin County has been a bit shameful. It really has. I mean, we had Dallas Dance and then Dr. Daryl Williams and now Dr. Miriam Rogers. And so we'll see who comes up next here. I did want to mention that we did talk about Kanaya Ward's mom and her testimony there in Annapolis and how impactful it was. Kanaya's law is expected to pass. This would make sure that those that are fostering kids in the system will have serious background checks. They'll be vetted. And then also, so it will not place kids, especially those at risk, in homeless shelters, hotels, or hospitals. And again, I thank you for the callers that called in, especially Jason and Laura. Thank you so much for what you and your wife are doing for the kids that truly just, you know, and as you mentioned, Jason, they just want, you know, the opportunity. They really just want the opportunity to thrive. Now, of course, as he mentioned, being a foster care parent, I can only imagine how tough it is. And I told you guys, my dad, he was in a foster care system. Let me tell you what, you think I'm mouthy? Man, then guess where I got it from? Yeah, that guy. You know, I could only imagine what his foster parent went through with him. And he was coming to him, you know, in a situation where, of course, he had brothers and sisters. They were all being split apart. And their mother just couldn't keep them, right? It was a situation where basically they had to be taken from the home. And his dad had passed away. My dad's dad passed away when he was 13 years old. And, you know, he was kind of out there on the streets just raising himself. And I can only imagine what that's like to get a kid like that. And then, you know, telling him, hey, you know, we're going to, you now have rules, you now have structure, and this is how things are going to be done. I can only imagine how my dad handled that situation as a young teenager. But it all worked out. It all worked out. And as Jason from Laurel called in, he said, you know, there are many parents that are not able to stick with it, you know, past a year. And I can imagine. I can imagine. That's a tough, it's a difficult challenge. Well, anyways, I did want to talk more about what's going on in Annapolis, but real quick, I wanted to just play the soundbite for you because I saw this story, and I know we've talked about it previously. I didn't go into detail, only because, you know, when kids are killed, it's hard for me to talk about it. But we did mention the five-year-old girl that was starved to death by her parents in Baltimore City. This is back in October of 2024. I just wanted to let you know that there has been some movement on the trial, and I wanted to play the sound for you in case you missed it. And then also, you know, the story gets me every single time because, you know, what they did to those kids. You know, the five-year-old girl died. The six-year-old brother, he's still alive, but he was treated the same way. He just did not die. And I, you know, of course, I look at this situation. We're talking about the foster system. We're talking about kids that need to be taken away from, you know, their parents. This is one of those situations. And if you're thinking about the foster care system, think about it. There's probably many times where Child Protective Services have been called. And because they cannot place these kids anywhere, they leave them with their parents. Well, anyways, I just wanted to play this for you because it is an update on the case. Take a listen.
The trial was set to start next week, but both parents decided to plead guilty.
When police arrived at the family's home in October 2024, they found 5-year-old Zana Bird's body. An investigation revealed she was severely malnourished, only weighing 17 and a half pounds. Her parents couldn't say when they last saw her alive. Today, 36-year-old Gerald Bird and 33-year-old Bernice Bird both pleaded guilty to child abuse charges.
The case is tragic all the way around, start to finish. Clearly, two parents looking at spending a significant amount of time in prison.
Gerald Bird's public defender spoke on his behalf.
He's quiet, he's subdued, he's introspective, he's kind, and he himself was raised through DSS. So that was essentially his parenting experience, and he's just not an evil person.
Gerald and Bernice Bird pleaded guilty to first-degree child abuse resulting in death in the case of 5-year-old Zana, and guilty of first-degree child abuse resulting in severe physical injury involving a son who was 6 years old at the time. He was also malnourished and weighed 35 pounds. Defense attorney Deborah Levy blames the Department of Social Services for not doing a thorough investigation or following up on calls of concern about the family. She says her client accepts responsibility.
Now, he didn't plead to murder. He pled to child abuse. That means it didn't have to be knowing and intentional. He could have just been reckless in his parenting.
Under the plea agreement, the Baltimore City State's Attorney's Office is recommending the parents get sentences of life in prison, suspend all but 50 to 70 years. State's Attorney Ivan Bates tells us no punishment will be as severe for these defendants as living with the knowledge that they murdered their innocent child. Today's guilty plea does ensure the safety of Zana's siblings, who are also victims of their parents' horrific actions.
Both parents will be back in court June 10th for sentencing. Reporting from downtown Baltimore, Barry Sims, WBAL-TV 11 News.
All right, and so that case, very heartbreaking. I know the lawyer's job is to defend these parents. But saying that the father grew up in social services and that he didn't intentionally starve these kids. Remember, this young girl was 5 years old. She weighed 17 pounds. 5 years old. The son, 6 years old, weighed 35 pounds. You're telling me that's not intentional? You're telling me that that's just neglect? He didn't know what he was doing as a parent? I understand that's her job. I get it. But how sick and disgusting. Meanwhile, the parents, and I will say the mother specifically, looks like she's never missed a meal. Yet they were not feeding these kids at all. Anyways, just wanted to let you know that they did plead guilty. This will not go to trial. I was wondering what was happening with this case. I was thinking about it a couple weeks ago, and now I got my update. And again, the father pleaded guilty to neglect and child abuse. He did not plead guilty to murder, but I believe this is clear-cut dry murder in the first degree. But again, I'm not a lawyer. Anyways, I just wanted to update you guys with that. And, we're talking about the foster care system. We're talking about child protective services. This is the kind of situation that you have. What a shame. All right. I did want to note also, you guys might have seen it, Wicomico County Sheriff Michael Lewis, he went viral yesterday on social media. Did you guys see that? Yes. So all around the country, they were talking about the sheriff's meeting in Annapolis. Obviously, 287G, the ban has been signed by Governor Wes Moore. Like I mentioned earlier, that's been our focus, more on ICE and illegal immigration instead of the actual problems that we have on a day-to-day basis. I don't know how many people have been killed by ICE in the state of Maryland. I count zero. But you know what? This is on the top of their mind. You know, if it's the national DNC story, if it's attack Trump and attack ICE, that's what we're going to do, regardless if ICE has a problem here in Maryland. Anyways, I just wanted to play this clip for you because Sheriff Mike Lewis, a very passionate speech there during the press conference with all the sheriffs behind him. Again, he went viral for all the right reasons. Take a listen.
Folks, this is nothing more than politics over public safety. And we as elected sheriffs are fed up with it. You don't see this many sheriffs in one location in the state at any given time. But we have to come together in unison to stop the ridiculousness that's going on up here in Annapolis, Maryland. And lawmakers need to wake up and realize Marylanders and the American people want public safety over politics, and they're not getting it.
All right, and that was Sheriff Michael Lewis out of Wicomico County. Now, again, there were sheriffs standing behind him. They were all coming together to speak to lawmakers. And, we said this before. They don't know more about public safety than law enforcement. Yet that's how they're behaving. And I was thinking, remember during the COVID pandemic, it was all, we got to follow the science. We got to wait for the experts. Dr. Fauci's an expert. All these doctors, they're the expert. They're going to tell us what to do. Well, here you have a situation where the sheriffs and the police department, they are experts on public safety. Do you think they're listening to the experts here? No, not at all. Legislators are saying basically, we know best. We know that ICE is a problem, even though they're not a problem here in Maryland. We know that President Trump's, Department of Homeland Security, they're a problem. Even though they have not been a problem here in Maryland at all, they believe that they know more than the sheriffs and, of course, the police departments all across the state of Maryland. How's that for following the science? How is that for relying on experts? You see how convenient they are? How selective they are there in Annapolis? So the ban on 287G, again, comes up, and I don't think that they're going to let this go, even though, of course, it hasn't done a whole lot to keep, I guess, ICE and federal law enforcement at bay. But still, they did it symbolically. And I agree with the sheriffs and everyone coming together and standing up against it. They're making their job much harder in so many ways. The fact that they're even dealing with the juveniles the way that they are here in this state. And then on top of it, you want them to release criminally charged illegal aliens into communities just so they can go back out there and help ICE pick them back up? Ridiculous. And a waste of resources. It's so stupid. All of it's just so stupid. Anyways, we get back. We'll be talking about Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton. We'll also be talking about squatter rights. Why squatters have rights in the state of Maryland? Because it's the state of Maryland. Because it's the state of Maryland, darn it. Because, we do everything here that's just stupid. That's what we do. And nobody seems to care. It's just like, if it gets us attention and it's something that we can say or do that would hurt the Republican Party or Trump, that's what we're going to do. And I love the fact that now you've got so many Democrats getting a lot of backlash for not standing up for American citizens during the State of the Union address when President Trump was basically asking people, they're in the gallery, are you for illegal immigrants, or are you for American citizens? And those elected officials, you were elected to support American citizens. First and foremost, the constituents in which you have, that is we the people, that should be your priority. But in the Democrat Party, they're putting illegal aliens first. Again, they all took an oath for office. And this is where we are. All right, real quick before we go to break, the judge rules construction on Trump's White House ballroom can continue for now. This is CBS. I love how they say Trump's White House. It's the White House. It's not Trump's White House. A federal judge has allowed the Trump administration ongoing construction of the White House East Wing to continue for now, finding that a legal challenge brought last year was not comprehensive enough to prove President Trump lacked the authority to renovate the building with private funds and without congressional action. Now, the U.S. District Judge Richard Leon ruled that the legal challenge brought by a group failed because White House Office of Executive Residence is not a government agency, and said that he cannot address the merits of the novel and weighty issues raised by the challenge without an amended challenge. So basically, this group came up. They're preservationists. They want to preserve history, and they think that, you know, the ballroom reconstruction, is it preserving history? Well, like I said earlier today, Barack Obama and so many other presidents have done renovations. The group didn't stand up and, you know, file suit then. They're just doing it now because it's President Trump. And meanwhile, as mentioned here, it is with private funds. They're not even using taxpayer dollars. We're basically getting a whole new ballroom for free. Governor Wes Moore should be happy. Doesn't he want to be the president? He'll have a new ballroom. All right, we'll discuss more coming up next.
Paid for by Christian Care Ministry.
Maybe this is you too. There's enormous frustration right now with healthcare costs. It is amazing. Healthcare costs for families in the last 20 years have almost tripled, and it just keeps getting worse. All this to say, this is why MediShare is so in demand right now. People are looking for alternatives, and MediShare is proven. You can save thousands of dollars a year and actually like it more. Over a million Americans are now part of healthcare sharing, and MediShare is the gold standard. It's trusted. It works. It's been helping people save money and have peace of mind now for 30 plus years. It's not some big impersonal thing either. It's a community of people like you helping each other. So yeah, if you're frustrated too, here's your chance to make a refreshing change. You'll notice the difference as soon as you call. They're easy to talk to. You can get a price within 2 minutes. Here is the number. Call 855-51-BIBLE. That's 855-51-BIBLE, 855-51-BIBLE.
Hi, Dr. Lairfield here. If you're dealing with missing teeth or loose dentures, we can help at the Smile Design Center. You'll walk out feeling confident, comfortable, and looking great. Call me at the Smile Design Center now for a free consultation at 410-321-1100.
Trying to make sense of the markets? Looking into diversify out of all the craziness? Thinking about tangible assets like precious metals? Listen to The Gold Show with Kenny Michaels right here on 680 WCBM at 3 p.m. Sunday afternoons. Stay up to date on retirement trends, how the IRA rollover process works, and why investors are turning to physical gold. Kenny is a national talk show host with decades of experience in the markets. Listen for Kenny's insights in The Gold Show every Sunday afternoon at 3 p.m.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
Massive tax increases, skyrocketing utility bills, criminal illegals roaming free in the state. It must stop now. Go to WCBM.com and sign our state petition. Send a message to our elected leaders that they need to listen to voters and stop the tyranny of one-party rule. Go to WCBM.com and send an SOS for a real change.
All right, we are going to talk about, well, what's been going on in Annapolis and, of course, Bill and Hillary Clinton. Very interesting enough. You know what? Noah made some great points during the commercial break. He thinks that the exterior, the structure of the White House is different than the renovations that were done previously by the Obama administration, because that was interior. And so exteriors should. Okay, Noah. All right. Look at Noah jumping into the conversation. You're welcome. I look at it and say, okay, it's going to be nicer. And it's not using taxpayer dollars. Are we not supposed to do any upgrades ever? I guess you're saying on the outside, the structure part of it, you want it to remain the same. And I guess, you know, you're not the only one that feels this way, because that's why that group filed a lawsuit. So you're not the only one that feels that way, Noah. I would just, you know, I guess to me it's not that big of a deal. But to some people I could see it. Maybe it is a big deal. I would be curious to know how many people in that preservation group, how many of them have even toured the White House or been to the White House or even cared about the White House before. I would love to know, because a lot of this stuff, I think, is political. You're not saying it politically, Noah. You are saying it because you want the White House to remain the White House, you know, and I can see that. And then there's some people that just want to be a pain in Trump's side. So I wonder exactly. But you know what? That was a great point. That's why I wanted to bring it up there. Noah, good job. That was a great point there. All right. So we are going to talk about the squatter issue. We are going to talk about, I wanted to play the squatter clip, but it's too long. That's too long. We're going to wait till we get back from break to play that clip. So I guess I'll go right into what's going on with the question of the day. Hillary Clinton, we've already talked about most of it. Hillary Clinton was deposed yesterday. You had the Oversight Committee. They're actually in New York because apparently, I guess the Clintons can't come to D.C. I don't know. They had to go to New York to ask Hillary Clinton some questions, and it started out with a hiccup, by the way. I'll get to that in just a second, but go ahead and take a listen to Cober.
We're going to not release the too many details of what happened today. We're going to try to get the video out as quickly as possible, hopefully within the next 24 hours. That's a very long deposition, so as quick as we can get that video produced, we will get that out. The transcript will be released as soon as her attorneys approve it. That's the standard rules of a deposition. And I think that I think this was a productive deposition today. I think we learned a lot. There were a lot of questions that we asked that we, you know, weren't satisfied with the answers that we got. But we will continue to move forward. Any of my colleagues, every member of the committee asked questions. And
I would just say one of the things I learned today is if you really have specific questions about the Clinton Global Initiative or the relationship between the Clintons and Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell, you got to ask Bill Clinton.
That's a great point. The number of times that she said, "I don't know," you'll have to ask my husband. Was you know, more than a dozen, and I'll put it like that.
If I can
go ahead,
ask,
Luna.
All right, and then Anna Paulina Luna goes into just a little bit more. But you know, Comer said there that it was a productive meeting. I didn't find it productive at all. I was kind of reading the cliff notes, and I was like, you know, she didn't really answer any questions. Now, it did start off with a hiccup, I wanted to tell you, because Congresswoman Lauren Boebert apparently took a photo when she was in the room, the deposition room, of Hillary Clinton and of the entire table. And then she sends it to Betty Johnson. Now, Betty Johnson, of course, if you're familiar with my red dress ad walking through Baltimore City, Betty Johnson was the producer on that ad, okay? He's the one that called. He came to Baltimore. And he's a conservative influencer, and this is what they do. But I thought to myself, because now they're acting like it's not a big deal. I have to disagree with my party on this. If the rules say that you can't take pictures in there, and you know Hillary Clinton's going to complain and try to get out and wiggle out of this any way that she can, why would you do it? Why would you even risk it? Why would you take a picture in the room and then send it to Betty, who then he puts his watermark all over it and posts it all online? Of course, it's going viral because he's monetized on all of his social media accounts. To me, that was just a dumb mistake. And I love Betty, and I love Lauren, but come on. It just seems so childish. You want to get to the bottom of this or not? Anyways, don't forget to take the poll question of the day at WCBM.com. Who do you think should be held accountable for the Jeffrey Epstein relationship with the Clinton household? Is it Bill, Hillary, both, or is this a waste of time? Coming up next, the squatters in Maryland.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. The U.S. Embassy in Israel is telling staffers that they can leave the country if they want to, and it's urging anyone considering departure not to delay, as the threat of an American strike on Iran looms. Meanwhile, the State Department says Secretary of State Rubio will be making a quick trip to Israel next week. The U.N. Nuclear Watchdog report says Iran blocks inspectors from checking nuclear sites that were hit in the June war, And that's leaving a big gap in what the world can verify. Another round of U.S.-Iran talks may take place next week. Former President Clinton is answering questions today in the congressional Jeffrey Epstein investigation. Yesterday, Hillary Clinton told lawmakers that she knows nothing of Epstein's criminal activities. On Wall Street, the Dow down 476 points, NASDAQ off 183. More details at srnnews.com.
I'm Dr. Melissa Segev, one of the doctors and owners of Audiology Associates. Our group of doctors has been providing hearing and balance care in Maryland for over 35 years. Audiology Associates has grown to include 11 offices throughout Maryland, including the Eastern Shore, Annapolis, Baltimore City, and Baltimore County. The past 35 years have shown advancements in every scientific field, and this includes how we as audiologists treat patients with ringing in the ears, also known as tinnitus. 85 million Americans suffer from tinnitus, and it is the number one disability experienced by our returning soldiers. Tinnitus is a constant sound in the ears that no one else can hear, and it can occur as a wide range of sounds. However, it is now treatable. If you suffer from tinnitus, let one of our doctors evaluate you and develop a treatment plan. Call our main number, 410-944-3100, or visit our website at aaiaudiology.com to make an appointment. Your initial consultation is covered by almost all insurance plans, so call 410-944-3100. When silence is not golden.
Now, Gary Stein on sports.
Birds brought the bats yesterday to the park, led by Tyler O'Neill. On a 3-1, that is an absolute rocket off the bat of O'Neill. And in an eye blink, it's gone. Tyler O'Neill continues to just hammer balls this spring training. Kevin Brown had to call on Masson with Alonzo, Ward, Henderson, and a healthy O'Neill. Right side of the plate looking good for Baltimore, the manager says.
To me, it's just the at-bat quality is where it really stands out. You know, these guys are forcing the pitchers to be in the strike zone. They're not chasing. And to me, that's a testament to them, to who they are and the work they're putting in.
Ravens news, the team evaluating their needs on defense especially. That task entrusted to head coach Jesse Minter, who has had success in his career with versatile chess pieces that can be deployed as weapons, such as Derwin James in Los Angeles and now Kyle Hamilton, of course, here in Baltimore. Another such player coming out of college, according to NFL analyst Charles Davis, is Kyle Lewis.
The linebacker safety out of Pitt, I think, is exceptional. He had a Senior Bowl week that was just off the charts. Everyone knows who he is, but I think each team's got to decide what he is.
Lewis projected as a day two second round pick. And finally, two local college basketball programs making news this morning, talking about Navy and UMBC. The Mids are 24-6. They're 16-1 in Patriot League play, securing their first outright regular season championship since 1997. Meanwhile, closer to home, UMBC notched at least a share of the America East regular season crown with a 70-58 win last night over Bryant. The Retrievers are 19-8, 12-2 in conference play, winners of seven in a row. And a win at UMass Lowell tomorrow, and the Retrievers secure home court advantage in the playoffs. Coming up in 30 minutes, crisis avoided for now. And that is done on sports.
Inspiration grows here. The Maryland Home and Garden Show, presented by Maryland Heating and Air. February 28th through March 1st and March 6th through 8th at the Timonium Fairgrounds Cow Palace. Find great deals, new ideas, and practical advice with more than 400 trusted local experts. See Craig Conover from Bravo's Southern Charm and Matt Blashoff from HGTV's Yard Crashers. Plus, stroll through seven blossoming feature gardens. Shop, compare, and save on kitchens, baths, flooring, and more at the Maryland Home and Garden Show. Save on tickets at mdhomeandgarden.com.
Your Fox 45 forecast, a nice mix of sun and cloud today with temperatures in the mild or low 50s. Even warmer come tomorrow. For Saturday, mostly sunny with highs near 60. Sunday, clouds return along with some cooler temperatures. We're back in the upper 40s by the end of the weekend. And then by early next week, we're back to winter. It's going to be much colder on Monday with highs in the low 30s, plus a chance for some light snow showers starting later Monday. From the Fox 45 Weather Authority, I'm meteorologist Amy Aronson for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Joe Hartman here, owner of Perry Hall Investment Group. Now is a great time to sell your unwanted property for top dollar with no commissions or fees. Call me today at 410-989-5200. That's 410-989-5200.
Liver from New Nordic Protects so you can enjoy life to the fullest. Online at Amazon or in stores at CVS, Wegmans, and New GNC.
Previously on Casey and Company.
You have somewhere between 35 and 40% of the state that votes Republican. They don't care. This is not about democracy. I love when the left always cries about D.C., taxation without representation. What would that mean for Maryland? Would we also be able to claim taxation without representation if they're successful in eliminating the seat?
Start your morning with Maryland's Wake Up Call. Casey and Company, weekday mornings at 6 on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right, man. Not a ton of people weighing into the question of the day. Maybe they don't really care about it. Maybe it was a bad question. I don't know. I feel off today. I don't know what it is. I think I'm ready for the weekend. I need to just take a break and take a deep breath. It doesn't feel like a normal Friday to me. I don't know. I don't know what's going on in my head today. Anyways, I'll get it together. Oh, that's right, Noah, because Noah, it's your last day filling in for Brian, the producer. That's what it is. That's what's going on. Well, I want to get a question of the day today at WCBN.com. Who should be held accountable for the relationship with Jeffrey Epstein and the Clinton household? 26% of you said Bill Clinton. 0% said Hillary Clinton. 62% of you say both of them. And 11% of you say it's a waste of time. So I am, you know what, I'm between two answers here. I'll go ahead and give you my answer now before we move on to the squatters. I'm between two answers because I do think both of them should be held accountable. I know some people are feeling bad for Hillary Clinton saying, oh, well, she wasn't really, you know, involved in all this. And look, she benefited from it. Okay, she benefited from it, whether it was the donations, whether it was from his network, you know, being with the wealthy people as she was running for president or Secretary of State. Now, I will say that it looks like a lot of the conversations or anything that she was involved in happened before he was convicted of trafficking minors. But, you know, there are many people, and I said this before, I don't care which side of the aisle they sit on. If you weren't speaking to Jeffrey Epstein or Ms. Maxwell after they were convicted of trafficking children, shame on you. Shame on you. But I'm between, you know, the both of them being held accountable to a waste of time. Because I really don't think anything is going to come of this. Because remember, yesterday, Hillary Clinton, she basically said, you're going to have to ask my husband. That was her response to almost all the questions. And today, Bill Clinton, I know he's probably sitting down with them right now. We'll talk about it on Monday. But I can imagine he's going to sit there just like Ms. Maxwell and say, I plead the fifth. That's how things are set up here in this country, right? So he can take the fifth. Every single question, he can take the fifth. And then they would just move on. All right? I think sometimes, you know, and I know the Save America Act, you know, for voter ID, I know that already passed the House. So, you know, the House isn't really working on a whole lot right now. That's really something that the Senate needs to get done. That's a whole other conversation. But there are other things that we could be working on that would benefit the people. And I just don't know if anything is going to come out of this, except for just, you know, dragging Bill and Hillary in for questioning. But we'll see what Clinton says today, Bill, and we'll talk about it on Monday. Now, I wanted to play this audio for you, and it's a bit long, and I apologize for that. But the squatter situation is much more prevalent than I think people realize. We talked about Tamika Good, who was held up in that beautiful $2.3 million home in Bethesda. She was there for months, right? She was kicked out, then went back, then kicked out again. Craziness. Well, anyways, here you're going to hear about a professor that was out of town, and he came back home to find squatters in his house. Now, if you were eating lunch, let me go ahead and preface this and just let you know what Gary Collins, the Spotlight on Maryland, the stuff that they found in the home. I don't know if you want to put your fork down for a second or just turn it down a little bit, but it's it's pretty wild, and it's all here in this clip. But it's absolutely disgusting. And now this house needs to be gutted. So I want you to take a listen to how they found the house. But then after that, Gary Collins was in Annapolis, and he asked leadership there in Annapolis what they plan to do about squatters. I want you to also listen to their response. Take a listen.
So I was totally shocked.
When Professor Z Wong came home after winter vacation, squatters were living in his property.
My immediate response is to take my phone out and call 911.
The University of Maryland School of Medicine's Professor Key didn't work for his big town home. He tried entering through his garage and found a family still moving in.
And what did the police do when they arrived?
Before the police came, the woman went out, right? So she just knocked on my window, the car window, saying, Well, we can talk. You shouldn't be there. This is my house.
When Baltimore police arrived on January 7, a woman showed officers a lease on her phone signed by Samuel.
I said this is a fake lease. It's not. I don't know Samuel at all. And I'm not Samuel. And I don't know this woman. So everything is just, fake.
Despite visible signs of force entry, including removed deadbolts in the home's bushes and a damaged window, police left. Under current Maryland law and Baltimore police policy, when a lease is presented, even if it's clearly fake, officers often treat it as a civil matter, not a criminal one. Maryland's law didn't allow many options for Wong to get back his house. Then came the text messages. Wong provided us the communication he had with the number the woman gave to the police. The demand? $5,000 cash to leave.
Do you feel that that's extortion?
Yeah, I think, this definitely is intention. It's a plan.
When Wong responded that he was a victim, the texter replied, "The victim? We are both victims in this situation." Wong filed a wrongful detainer action only to learn the name given to police appeared false. The professor took this photo of the squatter with a distinct neck tattoo in his garage. After nearly 2 months of daily efforts, the squatters abruptly left this past weekend.
We're here at the professor's house getting a first look inside after the squatters left days ago. Contractors are here trying to repair the place and some of the damage that the squatters left. Crossing into the first room, we see apparent signs of things that they left behind.
Inside, the consequences of squatting were immediately seen.
My goodness.
A collapsed ceiling. Contractors say they trace it to a clogged third floor toilet, water cascading through three levels into the basement.
As we climb the stairs, we look around and we see room by room items left behind by the alleged squatters. In one room, we see used baby diapers still sitting here left behind, while just next door, we see bottles and drug paraphernalia.
In another room, a table smeared with what appears and smells like feces. The substance soaked into the walls and carpets, a strong odor of urine.
Madam Speaker.
Meanwhile, in Annapolis, we press House Judiciary Chair J. Sandy Bartlett on a bill that would make fake lease schemes a felony, a bill that the Senate has already passed.
Madam Chair, if I may, we're here a week later, and the Senate passed and frontlined a bill to make fake lease creation a felony. It's a bill that's now both the Senate version and the House version in your committee. There's a University of Maryland college professor that I just met with yesterday who is facing over $80,000 of damage to his home. Will you act like the Senate acted and pass this bill out of your committee to get a final vote on the floor?
We have quite a few of these bills, and I have asked the vice chair to create a work group on proof of ownership of real property. And what we're going to do is look at all the bills and that we have, because we also have the fake lease, but we also have folks who are squatting. We have people who are actually on social media advertising that there is space available. So what we're going to do is look at those and to try to determine what is the best avenue for Marylanders to protect the person who owns the property, but also what duty does the person who owns the property have?
What duty does a person that owns the property have in that situation? Oh, my goodness. Just listen to this. So they're going to check it out. They're going to take a look at it. I'm sure they're going to want to do a 2-year study like they're doing on our energy crisis, right? This is ridiculous. This is why you don't hate Annapolis enough. You don't hate the Democrats in Annapolis enough. What do you mean? This has been going on for years. For years, people have been going to legislators and telling them we need to do something about the squatters. For years, they don't seem to care. And you know why I think this is? And I know Delegate LaToya Cogollo, she pointed out, a couple people pointed out, there are many Democrats in Annapolis with no skin in the game. They don't have kids, or they don't have kids in public schools. They couldn't care less what's going on in public schools. They don't own any property. So when they're looking at this situation with the squatters or the landlords, you know, even the landlord situation with Section 8, they can't relate. They don't own anything. They have no idea what other people are dealing with. Then when they talk about rental properties, and I said this before, If you ever notice, they talk about rental properties as if, to me, I see sometimes this language is out there, as if it's only white people with rental properties. You ever notice that? You ever notice that? Because they talk about the renters as people of color, right? As if there aren't property owners, landlords, that are people of color. But in their mind, since they don't own anything, I guess they don't believe that anybody of color owns property that they rent, right? I mean, it's, it's ridiculous. You know, we've had our friend that called the show time and time again, and I wish he would ever, you know, weigh in on this, Leonard in Silver Spring. And I know for a fact that Leonard in Silver Spring has property that he rents. And I would love for, Leonard, if you're out there, I would love to get your feedback on what's going on with the squatter issue. Because this is a Democrat issue. In Florida and in red states, you know what they do for squatters? They make sure the squatters don't have rights. They make sure the squatters don't have rights. Believe it or not, they had a similar situation in Florida. Governor Ron DeSantis jumped on it, just like they're jumping on the 287G ban. Yeah, they had that. That was all drafted and on Governor Moore's desk within a week. That's what they did for squatters in Florida. Now you talk about squatters here in Annapolis. Oh, well, we'll get to it when we get to it. Yeah, we're going to ask some questions. Yeah, we'll see. You know, the homeowner, they might be responsible for the squatting. Really? Now, I guarantee you, because, of course, I'm listening to this, you know, Gary Collins, and God bless you walking into that disgusting house. But he's talking about the fact that, you know, the ceilings have all caved in. It probably comes from a toilet that overflowed or what have you. So, of course, they didn't get any of that fixed. And then if you hear about all the things that are around the house, it sounds to me as, you know, when this professor came home, remember, they were still in the house for a good week or so. I guarantee you, in that time, that's when they did a lot of the damage. Because when Gary Collins walks in on the video, you will see where they're patching drywall. It looks like they punched a bunch of holes in the wall. And then they smeared the feces everywhere. Remember, there was baby diapers everywhere? I think they did all of that when the professor came back to go back into his house. And then he called the cops, and I think it made them mad. And then they tried to shake him down. Remember, they said, oh, well, because he asked, they were text messaging back and forth. He said, okay, well, how do I get you out of my house? And the woman says, oh, $5,000. As if she paid anything to begin with to go in. Again, we're talking about this row home, by the way. It's a nice row home. I saw some of the videos and pictures of it. It's in Pigtown, if you're wondering where we're talking about here. And this guy, he's a professor at the University of Maryland. But this is what we have in Annapolis. If we have to ban ICE, sure, they're on top of it. If we're going to, you know, talk about President Trump and the National Guard and, you know, the tariff money, that's all a priority. But here you've got homeowners dealing with squatters, and they're doing squat about it. They don't care. They do not care. And it is disgusting. And like I said, it's happening a lot more than you know. Because I do receive emails, by the way. And there are many people that email me. Thank you guys for sending so much out, sharing so much information. But there are many people that email me and they said they talk about this issue. They talk about this issue. There is, just so you know, there is a company that is making pretty good money by going into some of these homes and throwing the squatters out. And the homeowners are having to pay them to throw the squatters out. So they have to pay to get back into their home or their property. Why this isn't a top priority in Annapolis blows my mind. You talk about the population declining. Think about how fast it's going to be declining when people realize, even with this situation. If you've got rental property, say you've retired and, you know, your income is now renting properties that you've acquired over time, would you really want to deal with Maryland? The property taxes, the tax and fees on everything, the regulations, the permits, you know, the way they have this all set up, you got to take Section 8 housing vouchers first. God forbid somebody wants to pay you out of pocket for their rent. Would you really want to be here in Maryland? I wouldn't. I wouldn't want to be here. I've got Brian in Upper Marlboro. Hey, Brian.
Tim, quick question for you. If you hate the state of Maryland so much, why don't you leave?
I don't hate the state of Maryland. I hate the people running the state of Maryland. There's a big difference there.
Every day you talk about the problems in the state of Maryland. Why don't you just leave?
Every day?
That's shame on you. Every single day on your radio show, you talk about the state of Maryland.
Yes, I do.
How it's being run in the ground by Westmore,
by Democrats.
How Baltimore is an asshole. By Brandon Scott. Why
yes.
don't you just leave? You have free. You have the freedom to leave.
Why would I leave? Why would I cower and leave like a defeatist? Why would I run? No, that's not what I do. I'm not a victim. I don't run from tough situations. Is that what you do in your life, Brian? You run? Things get hard? You run?
Absolutely not. Every day.
Oh, well, you're just asking me to run.
Every day. I'm not on the radio every day complaining about my state. Shame on you, Kim. Shame on you.
Brian, shame on the people. Of course he hangs up. This is the same guy that calls often, by the way. Noah, I know you don't know because you're filling in for Brian. But this guy always calls, and he's upset with the fact that we are calling out the problems and pointing out that the Democrat Party isn't doing their job. And when you make the points, then, of course, you have people like Brian that call in because they're upset that you're making the point. Because they want to vote blue no matter who. In their minds, everything is, whether it's fine or not, it has to be the Democrats in charge. Whether it's fine or not, Republicans are racist, Republicans don't know what they're doing, Republicans are bad, Orange Man bad, TDS, all that stuff. See, this Brian's like one of those people. Meanwhile, what needs to happen, not for everybody to run and leave, what needs to happen is Maryland needs to have new leadership. Maryland was once a great state. We once didn't have all these taxes and fees. I can tell you, Middle River itself, 10 years ago, didn't look like Middle River today. But you have all of these policies that have put us in a situation where, and Brian, just so you know, I'm upside down on the House. Thanks to Democrats in office. You want me to leave? Please, write me a check for the money that I will lose on the House. Write me a check for 200 grand today, and I'll leave. Just for you, I'll leave. We'll be right back.
Annapolis is crumbling and taking your hard-earned dollars with it. Westmore and the Democrats are destroying our economy, driving up energy prices, prioritizing criminals over victims, and destroying our communities. I'm Shirai Youssefi, and I'm running for delegate in Harford County because we need fighters in Annapolis who will hold Westmore and the Democrats accountable. I'm Shirai Youssefi, and as your delegate, I will fight for policies that prioritize fiscal responsibility, affordability, public safety, and investment in our communities. Vote Shirai Youssefi for delegate on June 23rd, 2026, and visit YousefiForDelegate.com for more information. Paid for by the Committee to Elect Shirai Youssefi, Treasurer Andrew Horvath.
Let's be honest. You are way too with it to be thinking about long-term care and care plans. But step one of aging well is admitting you're aging. You can't outsmart time, but you can plan for it. Wesley Secure Care is a membership program that keeps you in control, at home, and ready for whatever comes next. Because denial is a strategy, just not a great one. So set up your strategy today. Learn more at WesleySecureCare.org.
The Rob Carson Show.
Hey guys, it's Carson. By the grace of God, Friday is finally upon us on the show. The great Mary Walter, Tony Kennett from the Daily Signal, and AG for the great state of Texas and senatorial candidate Ken Paxton joins us.
What? What?
To 3 on WCBM.
The Rob Carson Show. Weekdays noon to 3 on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
You know what that means? It's Friday. That's right. It's the last segment of Kim Classic Live, but Rob Carson's coming up next. Keith in the text line said, Kim, don't you know black people are supposed to defend black leaders no matter what? You didn't get the memo. Yeah, Keith, I never got that memo. If you're doing a terrible job, I'm going to say so. I got Al in Woodlawn. Hey, Al.
Hey, Kim, I'm going to be real quick. If I ever went on vacation, me and my wife, and came back to our house, and if it was somebody living in there, the police wouldn't have to be called. I mean, that's all I'm saying. That's all
I know.
Officer, me and my wife got home on vacation. It was intruders in our house, and I was afraid for my safety.
Exactly.
You know? I don't mean to be harsh or anything, but, and Kim, real quick about foster care. My wife and I were foster parents for a while for Baltimore County. We think about the kids every day we had, every day. And one little girl that really, really, really got us, really touched us, we asked her, she was 7 years old, and we were having a little family discussion about what we were going to eat for dinner or something like that. And Kim, this is what we asked her. We said, well, what do you think we should do? Kim, she looked up at me and my wife and said, you actually want my opinion? You actually care what I think? Kim, that got to us. Kim,
yeah.
That got to us. But, I mean, yeah. even having a special needs child, you know, my wife and I had people do things for us years ago that they didn't have to do. And we decided that, you know, when we retired, that we were going to try to give back. So we were foster care parents for a while, and we enjoyed every. We think about those kids every day.
Yeah,
you know, really enjoyed it.
Well, thank you, Al, much for sharing, and I appreciate you. And I, look, I feel the same way. If I found a squatter in my house, it would be a different situation.
Don't get to straighten up that halo over Olivia's head now. Oh. Take it up a little bit. All right,
Olivia. Yeah, she's asking me now to take her to Florida. She's cold, she said. I said, all right, yeah, you need a job. Right. Thank you, Al. Thank you so much. Have a great weekend. Texter says, we need to treat Democrat voters like battered spouses. They're constantly promising change and our Fed lies and get no change, but yet they are scared to leave the party. Yeah, look, it takes some people a while. And I said, there was a woman that once told me it was like, for her, it was like getting a divorce because she had been a Democrat for so long. She supported them for so long. And she said it took a lot for her to switch parties. I can understand. I got Joe in Baltimore. Hey, Joe.
Hey, good morning, Kim.
Good morning. Don't have a ton of time.
Yep, right. Jeff brought up Crownsville, and I'm so glad he did. Didn't get to talk about a lot of Black history this month, but Crownsville was a place for mentally ill Black people. Apparently it was established in 1911. It's a very creepy place if you go take a look at it. That's where they sent Black people because they thought that they were inferior and that they didn't know how to handle their freedom. And that's where they experiment on them and abuse them and treated them like crap. And it's a historical place that a lot of people don't know about. Abuse and neglect. A lot of people died there. That's where they sent a lot of us because they thought that we were inferior. So I'm really glad that he brought that up because a lot of people don't know about that place. They forget the history. So I just thought I'd add that to you. Just in case you didn't know about it. Crownsville Mental Institution is where they used to abuse and experiment on Black people who they thought were inferior.
Okay. Thank you, Joe. That was riveting.
You're welcome.
All right. Yep. Have a great weekend. Anyways, I'm not saying that it didn't happen, okay? It probably did happen. But we're talking about right now, right here, right now. It's 2026. I like when Jason called, Joe, by the way. I like Jason and Laurel when he called and talked about the foster care system and what they're doing, you know, he and his wife, and also getting the churches involved. I'm sorry that Crownsville happened. Yeah, I don't know much about it. It's not that I forgot. Never heard of it. But thank you for calling in and telling me about it. Maybe if we can reopen it and get the right people in there so people aren't being abused, but we can actually use the facility for something good, I guess. I don't know. All right. Anyways, I hope you guys have a great weekend. I thought it was going to be like a really great call there. It's not happening. Have a great weekend. You guys stay safe. Enjoy the weather this weekend. It's going to be beautiful. Noah, thank you for your help today and every day this week. We'll have Brian back next week, and I'll be back with you at 9 a.m. on Monday morning.
If you owe back taxes, listen carefully to rule number one. Never go up against the IRS alone. They're cracking down, freezing bank accounts, garnishing paychecks, canceling passports. Even your home or business could be at risk. But here's what they don't tell you. The IRS has powerful tax relief programs that could save you thousands if you qualify. That's why smart people call Optima Tax Relief, America's number one tax resolution firm. Nobody knows these programs like the experts at Optima. Their team of tax attorneys and licensed professionals have resolved over $2 billion in tax debt for people just like you. The IRS is not stopping, so don't wait and don't take them on alone. For tax help you need, for tax help you can trust, call Optima today for a free consultation.
Call 800-780-3599. 800-780-3599. 800-780-3599.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
This is the right choice for Maryland.
Talk Radio 680, WCBN, Baltimore.
Breaking news at Town Hall. I'm Bob Agnew in Washington.
Former
former Secretary of State Clinton told the House Oversight Committee during about 6 hours of testimony on Thursday she had no new information about Jeffrey Epstein. Later, she spoke with reporters in Chappaqua, New York, and said that she had answered all